Good morning.
Morning.
We have a quorum, and this morning Lisa and Melinda are at another meeting, and they'll be joining us shortly. So I've been asked to take care of the oaths this morning for Lisa. When we adopt our agenda this morning, we need to take care of appointing the Pardon and Forgiveness Committee members, and then we'll go on to the oaths. So when we adopt the agenda, there will be something we need to take care of. At this time, I would just want to thank you all for coming this morning and ask DeHasse if he would please do the opening.
Skulisogwek. Dauna gwenjokwa swadhunsi ose ji nate ohundu gana hela dungsla. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and gwatnigula daitino eladu nain yukinuha ohunjage ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king gwatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and gwatnigula daitino eladu nain ohneganos hugu ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king gwatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and gwatnigula daitino eladu nain onegli suha ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king gwatnigul. Agwegos kajia dwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain onunqua togu, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kajia dwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain gahnion dis awahit, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kajia dwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain onunqua u, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain galunda suha, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain gundilia suha, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain asanatingunahun daily, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain ojita suha, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain gunjokwa, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain oela suha, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain ladisa gayondeze, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain yodahlo sunkwa jiha, ji sego lonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain yunki sota hwe nidale, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain yoji stokwalu, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain skanadalio, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain gae niungwedage, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Agwegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula daitino eladu, nain sunkwai disu, ji sego yonadiwan jero hari da tonyon duha king guatnigul. Dani.
This morning, I also would like to just take a minute to have a moment of silence for the family of Jim Tenuta. Jim was a friend of the Oneida Nation. He was our lobbyist, and I was informed this morning that he passed on Monday. So if we would just take a moment of silence to acknowledge the family of Jim Tenuta for his passing. So this is very sad news that we have this morning. So if we would just have a moment of silence, please. Thank you very much. It is unfortunate. And somewhat unexpected for his family as well. So this morning, we do have to adopt our agenda, and we need to change item 7C under appointments to put the pardon and forgiveness screening appointments first on the agenda so that we can then do the oath of office respectively. Other than that, I don't have any other changes to the agenda.
Madam Chair?
Yes, yes.
Motion to adopt the agenda with the change of moving appointment letter C to first on the agenda.
So motion by DeHasi, second by Trish, to adopt the agenda with a change of item 7 under appointments letter C to the beginning of the agenda. That is the motion. Any questions or comments or other changes to the agenda? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. So the first item will be the appointment of the Pardon and Forgiveness Screening Committee members. A recommendation from my office is Jean Redhale, Evangeline Danforth, Eric Bollinger, and Lyle Matoxin.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny.
A motion to approve all four appointments.
There's a motion by Jenny to approve the appointments of Jean Redhale, Evangeline Danforth, Eric Bollinger, and Lyle Matoxin to Pardon and Forgiveness Screening Committee. Is there support?
Second.
Second by Brandon. Questions or comments on the appointment? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions?
Abstention.
One abstention. Motion carries. At this time, then, I would like to ask Evangeline Danforth, Eric Bollinger, and Lyle to come forward. I was informed that Jean is not able to be here this morning, so that you can be sworn in.
Hereby promise to uphold the laws and regulations
of the United Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin.
Okay.
Council
and the tribal constitution. I will perform my duties to the best of my ability and on behalf of the United people with honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity, and will remain confidential information with the strictest confidentiality. I will carry out the duties and responsibilities as a member of the Pardon and Forgiveness Committee, and all recommendations shall be made in the best interest of the United Tribe as a whole.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank all of you for your commitment to the tribe and your willingness to volunteer on this committee. The next item on our agenda is approval of the February 11th regular meeting minutes.
Madam Chair?
Jenny?
Make a motion to approve February 11th, 2015 regular meeting minutes.
There's a motion to approve the minutes. Is there support? Motion by Jenny, second by DeHasi, to approve the meeting minutes of February 11th. Questions, comments, changes, concerns on those minutes? If there are none, all those in favor of the minutes say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a resolution to adopt the Indian Child Welfare Act policy. According to my notes, there is a statement of effect and a resolution. Yes, Wes.
We had asked for a Wes Martin with the Child Protection Board. Lois Strong asked me to appear. Lois is at the hospital with her daughter, and she asked me to appear today. But we were asked for a deferred last time for 2 weeks. What we're asking is a deferred again for another 30 days. We met with Lisa Summers and Michelle Mays. But last night, or yesterday, I got a document from Nicole Homer, who is a Ho-Chunk Nation ICW director attorney. Apparently, the Bureau is now looking at the IC in regards to putative fathers in regards to the Veronica case. And there's some new guidelines being issued out, and this is the first time the Bureau has ever issued any guidelines regarding to ICW since its inception. So we believe they're going to could affect what the Children's Code and possibly the resolution. So we would ask for a 30-day deferred. Allow us to explore that. I mentioned it. I do have a copy. It's hard to read. I printed it off, but I will leave a copy with the chair here.
Okay. Well, thank you, Wes. Michelle?
I also got that email yesterday. I did not get a chance. The BIA guidelines have not been amended since, I think it said 1979. So this is it's a very big deal that they've amended the BIA guidelines. And the court, a lot of the court cases say that when they make their decisions, they're following those BIA guidelines. So I think it's important that we do have time to review those guidelines to see how it may or may not affect the resolution.
Okay, thank you. So there's a request to defer this item for another 30 days. Is there a motion to that effect?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny?
Make a motion to defer for 30 days.
So motion by Jenny, second by Trish to defer this item for 30 days. Questions or comments on the motion? If there are no further questions or comments, all those in favor, thank you. Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Wes. The next item is a resolution from the ANA. Titled Administration for Children and Families, Administration of Native Americans, Native American Language Preservation and Maintenance, Esther Martinez Immersion. Hi, Sue.
Good morning. This is for a resolution for a grant that we will hopefully submit. If we do not make this round, we still have the resolution supporting us for when the grant comes out again. We have two different proposals that we're writing, so that's why we're not sure if we're going to make this cut. But then we at least have the resolution in place.
Okay, so you're saying that this resolution will cover us for now and for later if there's a future opportunity?
Mm-hmm. For this year.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Brandon?
Motion to adopt the resolution Administration for Children and Families Administration for Native American Language Preservation and Maintenance, Esther Martinez Immersion.
Support.
It's a motion made and seconded by Brandon and DeHasse to approve the Native American Language Preservation and Maintenance resolution to support for grant funding. Any other questions or comments regarding this item? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. The next item is a request for a resolution for the Administrative Procedures Act Amendments Emergency Adoption.
This resolution is to put in place an Administrative Procedures Act that many of the laws still refer to. Gaming Commission, Land Commission, all refer to an APA, so this would fill that gap rather than just going and changing each law
hearing processes.
far as the hearing process is concerned.
Hi there. Any other questions or comments regarding this item? From either one? No?
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Make a motion to approve the resolution, Administrative Procedures Act amendments, emergency adoption.
Motion by DeHasi, second by Trish, to approve the adoption of a resolution for Administrative Procedures Act amendments on an emergency basis. And this will be effective March 1st, 2015. Any other questions or comments on this resolution? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is adoption of a resolution for the following to remove the references to the Oneida Appeals Commission pursuant to GCC Resolution 7-1113A, the attorney contract policy, condominium ordinance, emergency management and homeland security, employee protection policy, local land use regulation reimbursement policy, notary act, Oneida election law, real property law, social media policy, tattooing and body piercing law, and the tribal environmental response.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Motion to approve the resolution title adoption amendments to the following move reference to Oneida Appeals Commission pursuant to GTC action. Resolution 7113A, attorney contract policy, condominium ordinance, emergency management, homeland security, employee protection policy, local land use regulation, reimbursement policy, notary act, Oneida election law, Oneida food service code, Oneida Nation law enforcement ordinance, Oneida vendor licensing, real property law, social media policy, tattooing and body piercing law, and the tribal environmental response.
Second.
Motion has been made by DeHasi and second by Jennifer to make the necessary corrections to remove the references of the Oneida Appeals Commission. Questions or comments on this resolution? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. The next item under appointments is the appointment of Sean Skinnador to the Environmental Resources Board. This was deferred from 2 weeks ago. The recommendation is for Sean Skinnador. There were three applicants. All applicants were qualified to serve, and there was lengthy discussion about this item. What is the committee's recommendation at this time?
From my understanding, last we talked that the herb board was supposed to come forward with a recommendation on as far as training, since they don't have training. Training was cut in their budget. And I don't know what that is.
Well, again, I guess those are two separate matters. The item before us is an appointment. The issue around training for participants on the herb board based on funding is a budgetary issue, and it's not necessarily relative to the appointment process. And so I understand there was a lot of discussion, and they were going to come up with some solutions to the training aspect. So that's kind of where we left off. Is there additional information around the training? Please, Laura.
We did ask for a deferral to give you a report on that. We did approach the legal staff here at Norbert Hill and the new chief judge Hill, and they're having they had a meeting yesterday because the new judiciary is getting a lot of requests for training, and they wanted to consider everyone at the same time so they could do multiple boards at the same time, I would assume. So we're waiting to hear back from them. They had their meeting yesterday.
Okay.
So in the meantime, we're trying to utilize inside maybe HRD and Environmental Health and Safety to help us as well. So we have had discussions, and we're putting a plan together for you. But so it depends on other programs.
So you're looking at some options around training. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. So regarding the appointments, again, I believe that training is not really the subject at hand. The subject at hand is the appointments, and I would like for consideration at this time from the committee. Again, the recommendation from my office was to appoint Sean Skinnador. Brandon?
I guess it was conversation last time, Sean, you weren't here, and there was questions arising about possible violations currently with the board, and so we couldn't discuss it in your absence, and so that's kind of why this was deferred. One of the reasons why it was deferred, not the main reason. And I guess we couldn't clear that up, and we couldn't talk about it without you in the room. And so I don't know if there's anything that would be helpful in our consideration of that.
Morning, Sean.
It was my understanding that a concern did get brought up that happened roughly 14, 15 years ago, and that wasn't, I have nothing current.
Okay. We weren't talking 15 years back at all. Nothing. It was
right.
More of a
yeah, there's
action.
Nothing current to okay. My knowledge. I wasn't brought to my attention at all. I have good standings with conservation that has current hunting and fishing rights.
Yeah, that's the only thing
that
was
Sean.
Discussed was just recent, if there's anything recent, and then I guess that was the only reluctance that we had here. Training was also, I mean, it's an ancillary, but it's not really, I guess, our issue totally, but the effectiveness of the board to be able to train. So, I mean, that's the only consideration. And I guess just to give you up to speed about why this was deferred, why any other reasons, that was one of the main reasons why we just had
Well, the other thing that I wanted to add is I did get word of how this whole process was, and a lot had to do with training, money, and whatnot. And Laura did call me personally and offered me to take care of the new lake, that there wasn't anyone interested in something like that, and she was going to send me a proposal. And I told her directly, I'm not in it for the money, so if I was elected, I'm donating my money back to the community or to this fund to help protect what we have now, the little we have left over.
Thank you, Sean. Any more questions or comments regarding the appointments? Recommendation, please.
I will make a motion to approve the chairman's recommendation of appointing Sean Skinnador to the Environmental Resource Board.
Second.
It's a motion made and seconded to approve the appointment of Sean Skinnador to the Environmental Resources Board. Questions or comments on the motion? Jay Hossein?
I guess this is more of a comment. I know some of the current sitting board members would like to have seen Nicole Stieber continue her service on the board, because she's been very helpful and very community oriented and participating in the community. And so I just wanted to make it noted and also acknowledge Nicole for all her help that she has done in our community in regards to the herb board, and that she was also on the list as a qualified candidate who also has a degree in the environmental area. And so I just wanted to also note that.
Any other questions or comments? If there are none, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion.
Same.
One abstention from DeHasse. Motion carries. Thank you. The next item is an appointment for Daniel King to this Nuclear Energy Travel Working Group. Daniel is a safety coordinator to the Department of Energy, is what this appointment is for.
Madam Chair.
Jenny?
Make a motion to appoint Dan King, safety coordinator to the Department of Energy, Nuclear Energy Travel Working Group.
Support.
It's a motion by Jenny, seconded by DeHasse, to approve the appointment of Daniel King to the Department of Energy Nuclear Energy Tribal Working Group. Questions or comments regarding this appointment? If there are none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is under the continuing resolution reports, environmental health and safety continuing resolution closeout report.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny.
I make a motion to approve the Environmental Health and Safety Division continuing resolution closeout report.
There's a motion by Jenny and second by Fawn to approve the closeout report for Environmental Health and Safety Division regarding the continuing resolution. Any questions or comments regarding the motion to approve the report? If there are none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Jeff. The next item is a Comprehensive Health Division Continuing Resolution Closeout Report. Good morning.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny?
Make a motion to approve the Comprehensive Health Division Continuing Resolution Closeout Report.
There's a motion. Is there support?
Support.
There's a motion by Jenny, second by Fawn, to approve the Comprehensive Health Division's Continuing Resolution Closeout Report. Any questions or comments regarding the report? If there are none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. The next item is a Trust Enrollment Committee Continuing Resolution Closeout Report. Yes, Fawn.
Motion to approve the Trust Enrollment Committee closeout report.
There's a motion. Is there support to approve the Trust Enrollment Committee closeout?
Okay.
Motion by Fawn, second by Jenny, to approve the report. Questions or comments regarding this particular report? If there are none, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is the Organization Development Continuing Resolution Closeout Report.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny?
Make a motion to approve the Organization Development Continuing Resolution Closeout Report. She didn't oversee a budget, so there was no effect.
Okay. Support. There's a motion by Jenny and second by DeHasse to approve the Organization Development Continuing Resolution Closeout Report. questions or comments? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a Human Resources Department continuing resolution closeout report. Is there a recommendation on this item?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny.
Make a motion to approve the Human Resource Department continuing resolution closeout report.
Second. It's a motion by Jenny, seconded by Brandon, to approve the Human Resources Department continuing resolution closeout report. Questions or comments regarding this report? If none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is regarding the Personnel Commission and it is for their continuing resolution closeout report.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny.
I make a motion to approve Personnel Commission continuing resolution closeout report. They did not have any exceptions.
Support.
Okay. Motion by Jenny, second by DeHasse, to approve the Personnel Commission continuing resolution closeout report, which reflects there was no impacts. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is Retail Enterprise continuing resolution regarding closeout.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny.
Make a motion to approve the Retail Enterprise continuing resolution closeout report with the note that one of their recommendations, should the Oneida Tribe need to control expenses, it would be helpful to know what the target dollar amount is, should that happen in the future. I think that's a good recommendation.
I guess my only comment on that was that we can't give a particular dollar amount to budget because each budget is different. So 75% of the previous year's budget was based on ability to continue operations. So because of the variable budgets, there was no dollar amount specified. I don't know if there's any other comments, Trish, you have on that request or recommendation.
Nothing other than it was the previous year's budget, so I don't know what. If they wasn't given the number, then they should have been had access to it because it was a previous year's budget.
Yeah, but the continuing resolution was for this fiscal year until the budget was approved. That was a directive from your office.
Right, based on the previous year's budget.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what the. I guess I'm not understanding this comment.
I guess it would have just been helpful for retail and other areas if we would have known what we were working towards. I knew the 25% of the 75% of the previous year's budget. I knew what that was, bottom line, but I don't, it was an abstract number for the whole organization to just say we're budgeting to this number. It just would have been helpful to say we need to reduce the budget by this. And then work towards that with the guideline of the 75% of the previous year's budget.
Okay, so we tried to do that the first round and it didn't work. So that's why the cross board cut
yep.
came. Yeah.
Okay, any other questions or comments for Michelle? Vaughn?
I'm just looking at the part where it says difficulty hiring temps. At one point, HRD had a suspend the math test.
Yep.
Shouldn't our retail workers know math?
Everybody should know math. That it shouldn't be just a retail employee thing. However, for the skills to be behind the register, the cash register really does most of the work for them. They also have calculators available to them. We were not able to hire people for about 3 weeks because each of the applicants who who would come in did not pass that test. So we were experiencing quite a bit of overtime in that period in November when we were having a hard time hiring people, October and November. We suspended the math test to get the ETs in. We needed bodies.
And I think that may have been more cost effective versus having to pay overtime versus bringing in ETs.
Right.
Anything else? Okay. If nothing else. Okay. Thank you, Michelle, again. All those in favor of the motion to approve? Oh, you need a second. The motion was made by Jenny, seconded by DeHasse. And all those in favor of the Retail Enterprise Continuing Resolution Closeout Report, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Same.
One abstention from Lisa. Motion carries. Our next item is the Standing Committee Reports, Legislative Operating Committee. Yes, Brandon.
Motion to accept the LOC meeting minutes of February 4th.
Second.
Motion by Brandon, second by Jenny to accept the February 4th meeting minutes for the LOC. Questions or comments regarding those minutes? If there are none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is Finance Committee. There's a request to ratify the e-poll for the approval of the secretarial election item on February 16th Finance Committee minutes.
Second.
There's a motion by Trish, second by Fawn to approve the February 16th request from Finance Committee for approval on the secretary election costs. I believe this is for a contract item. Questions or comments on the motion to approve the request from Finance? If there are none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to approve the Finance Committee meeting minutes of February 16th.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny.
Make a motion to approve Finance Committee meeting minutes of February 16th, 2015.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Fawn to approve the February 16th Finance Committee meeting minutes. Questions or comments regarding those minutes? There are none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a Community Development Planning Committee. There are some notes, meeting notes of February 5th.
Madam Chair, motion to accept the CDPC meeting minutes of February 5th.
There's a motion by Fawn to accept the February 5th CDPC meeting minutes. Support by Trish. Questions or comments regarding these minutes? If there are none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is the quality of life. There is no requested action, no meeting minutes regarding this item. Under General Tribal Council, there is a petition regarding a request for a special GTC meeting to address 6 resolutions. And these are new resolutions, Lisa?
That's correct.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Make a motion to accept the verified petition submitted by Madeline Genskow.
Second.
It's a motion by DeHasi, second by Jenny, to accept the verification of the enrollment qualification for submission of these petitions. There are six of them. Motion is to accept that verification. Also believe our next step is to then put them through the process of analysis. Questions or comments on the motion? If there are none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair?
Yes, DeHasi.
Make a motion to send the verified petitions to the Law, Finance, Legislative Reference Office, and Direct Report Office for the legal, financial, legislative, and administrative analysis to be completed.
Second.
It's a motion by DeHasi, seconded by Fawn, to send the six petitions to the Legislative Operating Committee, Finance Committee, or Finance Area Department, and the Law Office for further analysis of these petitions for GTC consideration. Questions or comments on the motion? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny.
I'd also like to make motion to the Director of Law Office, Finance, and LRO to submit the analysis to the Tribal Secretary's Office within 60 days, and that a progress report be submitted in 45 days.
Second.
There's a motion by Jenny, second by, was that Lisa or Fawn? Lisa? To submit these items to the Secretary's office per the analysis within 60 days and a 45-day progress report. Questions or comments on the motion? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Trish.
We haven't talked about this, but I was thinking about the opportunity to better understand what the petitioners are asking for. And I know individually we can go and ask the petitioner for that information. But when we put this information together, usually we don't understand exactly what they're asking for. So I'm wondering if we can coordinate a meeting with the petitioners and ask them for dialogue to just open up the doors and discuss what the issues are. Cause some of them we are already in the process of doing, so and maybe just helping her understand or the petitioners understand as a group what's being done already might help with the process. Also, it gives an opportunity to understand, so I'm just asking for a meeting of the committee and the petitioners as a group, not the author alone, but all of them together, if they can.
So when you say you want to have a meeting, do you want to have a meeting with finance and the petitioners, the business committee and petitioners? I guess I'm not really clear what your intent is.
I think it would be good if all of us, because we asked for legislative impact, a financial impact, and a legal impact. And the business committee just needs to have the basic understanding of what's being requested. If the four agencies can meet with the petitioners to get that clarification or understanding on both sides, then it'd be probably just be like a community meeting, but we're actually sending out an invite asking people to participate for that clarity. It's an option, opportunity to open the doors, I guess. And if we could do that, like after the first update, you know, so the meeting would take place after the first update, and then we could see where we may not be hitting the mark on what they're asking for, getting clarification, getting understanding. So, like we asked them to come back with an update report in 45 days. So, if we could have a meeting right around there.
Any other questions or discussion?
I just put it out there for discussion.
Jenny?
Did you mean more of a community meeting?
Yeah, not a formal just it's so we can talk to each other.
Okay.
Because petition is a one-way discussion.
Okay. Because this one has so many resolutions to it.
Right. If they don't want a meeting for that, then I'll reach out myself. But open the doors, I guess.
So, are you going to make a motion? What is your intent? And then, Lisa.
I'm asking if there would be support to do something like that. I don't want to direct a motion. I want us to talk about it a little bit.
If that's what you're asking us to do, then I guess I would suggest that we move this to a BC work meeting so we can have a little bit more in-depth dialogue. Because I have more questions for you about that in relationship to how I'm working towards bringing forward that process generally.
Oh,
and okay. So I welcome that dialogue with all of us as a team, but I don't know that necessarily today right here is the day for us to do that. So I would suggest that if we're going to do anything with it, that we just add it to our BC work meeting agenda. We can ask Fawn to do that right here without taking any further action on that part of it.
That's good.
Sounds good.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Fawn?
We've been talking about this, Trish, with Lisa's office about having a GTC process. So we just had some small dialogue about it, and I think that's a good idea to incorporate of having a meeting face-to-face, too, with the petitioner. We can bring this to a BC work meeting also.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know you guys were working on it because we haven't had our updates yet.
Lisa?
A follow-up motion, please. To direct our direct report offices to submit any appropriate administrative analysis to the Tribal Secretary's office within 30 days.
Second.
Can I ask you for a clarification on what you want the direct reports to submit to your office? Because we have two time frames that we approved.
Sure, absolutely. One of the things that I did have a conversation with the committee about, I believe at our last work meeting, was the business committee directed me to go back and have a conversation with the law, finance, and legislative reference offices because there were some concerns about the timelines. And that's why you see an adjustment in the timelines to request them to bring back the analysis with the updates. One of the things that we discovered during that conversation was that we are missing an administrative component to the analyses. And right now the law office has been trying to take up that aspect of it in their analyses to make sure that any operational impacts are included there. So one of the things that we had talked about and agreed to do at this point, which I did share with the committee in agenda review, was that we would also ask our direct reports to do kind of a quick once-over of the petitions when they come in, mm-hmm. see if they believe that anything may or may not impact their area, and then provide an appropriate response to that, just to help the law office get a little bit more guidance on where they maybe need to ask more questions as they complete that part of the analysis, since they're incorporating the administrative piece into their part. So that's the background on that, and our anticipation is, and we've communicated this already with the direct reports, that they would work with our office and the law office to make sure that if there are administrative impacts, then they're included and identified.
Is there a second to that motion?
Was that a motion? Can you repeat it, please?
Sorry. Yes. To have our direct report offices submit appropriate administrative analyses to the Tribal Secretary's office in 30 days.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, second by Fawn to direct the direct reports of the business committee to submit their analysis in 30 days to the secretary's office. Discussion regarding this motion? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to approve the meeting materials for the March 28th Special Jones Tribal Council meeting.
Thank you.
Here's a handout. anyone is interested, there are also handouts for this item in the back table. This is the agenda items for the March 28th General Tribal Council meeting being proposed. The items for this GTC meeting on March 28th includes a request to create a dialysis center, requests regarding the ability to have polling sites both in Oneida and Milwaukee, and also to provide a support system of paralegals and advocates for the petitioners at the judiciary, and respondents, I should say. And then also a request for a 99-cent employee raise for those under $65,000. So at this time, the committee has had a thorough discussion regarding this item in a work meeting, and I believe we met also on Monday regarding this item and have concluded by majority that this information is ready to be forwarded to the General Tribal Council for consideration through printing and mail-out process. That is the request in front of you right now.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny.
Make a motion to approve the meeting materials for March 28, 2015, special GTC meeting.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Lisa to approve the GTC meeting materials for March 28th special meeting. Brad?
The rest of you all please speak up. I can hear Tina clearly, but I cannot hear any of the rest of you. And I would appreciate it if you'd use the mics and speak up, please. Sure. So with this packet, could I make a request that the three reports you have be put on at the end of the meeting? Because I think it would be more important to get to the petitions first instead of making the people sit there and listen to whatever you're going to have in the multimedia presentations and everything. The people are there to do the petitions. I think it'd be more important to do them first and then have the rest at the end. You know, I've talked to a lot of people and they said that's what they'd like to see. Or, like I said before, put them in the paper, like the secretarial election. That way people can sit at home and read them. And then at the end of the meeting, if they got any questions, then bring up a question and answer session. A lot easier, a lot better. But see, some of these petitions are going to take a while. I think the people would appreciate it if you do it that way. Thank you.
Ed?
Page 17 of this handout. Section there regarding intergeneration. I've always been told that, you know, I respect the lives of my mother and my grandmother and those who came before them. Intergenerational colonization type thing. It appears to me that saying that our ancestors are suffering from, and as we are also suffering from, senses of entitlement, senses of individualism, tunnel vision, unbalanced values, were impatient. Parents and grandparents were impatient. That's a fine thing to say about those who came before us. I've always been proud. You know, when I moved here in 1985, I walked down Highway E, Freedom Road, and after living in the cities most of my life, felt good as I walked past at the graveyard at the old Methodist Church, and to know that these people, you know, actually lived here before me, and we were connected by blood. I was proud of them. This statement is, to me, is contrary to that kind of thinking. I don't believe our ancestors living here before us suffered from some kind of intergenerational deficiencies that led them to be individualistic and senses of entitlement and tunnel vision and lack of adequate values and impatient. That really hits at me really, really deep to think that there are those who would think that way about those who came before us. It's contrary to everything I believe, and it's contrary to what I taught when I taught at tribal school. Don't go.
Thank you, Ed. Questions or comments, Tehasi?
Just a comment, I guess. I guess this is, you know, the title is Historical Intergenerational Colonization, and that was more of a perspective of what we're currently facing. It's not necessarily to detract from our ancestors who lived here in New York in the past. This is just part of our history. There's, you know, several things that have happened to our people in the past and caused us to act and react in certain ways. And this is just a means right now just to hopefully bring that stuff out, information, and so that it can be addressed and dealt with, hopefully in a good way, so we can continue to move forward and rebuild our nation here and continue to, lead our people into prosperity, you know, into that direction. So it's not a knock on our ancestors or anything like that. This is just something that we have to deal with as a people right here because of the historical traumas that have happened in our past. So it's, to me, it's, you know, it's up there in a priority pretty high that in order to address these issues and to keep moving forward. I mean, this isn't nothing new. It's I'm pretty sure it's been dealt with in our community for decades. I know because been to several different workshops over several decades already now, all dealing with these types of issues, and it isn't a bad thing. This is just the state of the nation right now and where we're at and the types of issues that we're facing. So to me, I think it's important that we do talk about these issues and openly, and so that we can help to address these issues. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on the meeting materials? I would just like to ask that there be page numbers for these items that are in the packet under the, I don't know. I know we have table of contents. So is there going to be anything more added? Because I know we talked a little bit about it on Monday, because I didn't know if Trish was going to have something by noon yesterday, and if that's changed, if we need to change any of the numerical orders.
No, the material that we had discussed with Trish is already in the packet.
It's already in the packet?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's those 20 pages of...
Yep, it starts on page 9, and it runs all the way through page 29.
I think the only other thing was in regards to 99 cents.
I'm sorry, Trish, what'd you say?
I'm sorry. Is that not? The other thing was in regards to a presentation, if we wanted a dual response, a presentation in addition to the response to the 99 cents.
Okay.
And that is included in the business, that's part of the business committee's recommendation, and that's page 1. Right, so it's already included in here.
All right. Thank you.
What page did you say, Lisa?
So the presentation for the multimedia placeholder is on 129.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Chair.
Yes,
Lisa. If you'd like us to just be a little bit more detailed in the table of contents to identify those sub-items, we can do that. That's not a problem.
Sure, that'd be helpful.
Okay. We'll make that adjustment.
Okay, thank you. Brandon?
Lisa, would you just want like a memo from the LOC? Taking too much time, just, you know, basically an update and then kind of some legislation that GTC needs to be involved with in the future. That's basically it.
Okay.
How much time do they get to reply?
I can't hear you, Trish.
Me neither.
Can you speak into the microphone or
page
speak up,
130,
please?
How much time are we? That's just a placeholder. When do we need it by? 127.
Can you please speak up, Trish, because I can't hear you either.
I'm asking on the placeholders for the documentation that there's just placeholders in there. What is the timeline that they have to have the documents in?
When does this go to print, Lisa?
This goes to print today. The presentation, the multimedia presentation placeholders are the places where we've been saying, we're noting to General Tribal Council that they will receive a presentation from whichever topic it is at the meeting. And that's how we've been noting it over the last four meetings that we've been having. So I'm not understanding your question.
Okay, on page 130.
Okay.
On page 130, it says business committee recommendation. But it's in regard, okay, so that's just the business committee. I was thinking that it was for their presentation, their response. Why are they asking for this in the petition? So they have written documentation also or not?
Yes, and the material, the petitioners who wish to respond and provide additional information have already done so, and that's included in the packet. So those are separators, not placeholders that you're referencing.
Okay.
So if they're too confusing,
I'm just looking at if you have a subject matter, then it's a petition subject, then the business committee's response should be included with the subject.
It is. So page 130, if you look on page 131,
okay, here
that's the divider. So page 130
starts
is the
on page 128.
So, no. 128 is the petitioner's additional information that they submitted for the packet. And then page 129 is the multimedia placeholder.
Okay.
Page 130 is the divider, which says this is the business committee's recommendation. And then page 131 and 132 are the business committee's recommendation that we already approved.
Okay. So I was looking for this page, page 127.
The multimedia
and 128.
Placeholder.
I didn't realize it was before. I was looking at this. That's what I was looking at. So,
okay.
Sorry.
Your
we
question?
Just got this. It's answered. Thank you.
Okay.
Lisa, did you want to add anything?
Just that following the last BC meeting, we did send notification to all the petitioners and then gave them until Monday until noon, and we did get two responses, and those are included in the packet.
Any other questions or comments regarding the packet for the mail out for March 28th meeting? No? All right. The motion is by Jenny and second by Lisa to approve the packet information for the March 28th meeting. Any questions or comments further on this item?
Just that we have two noted adjustments. One will be to us for the detail of the table of contents, and then LRO will provide LLC will provide a cover memo for their place.
And this is going out.
It'll go today.
Today? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. Under unfinished business and table items, there is no action. Under new business, there's a request to approve the United Head Start Early Head Start Policy Council documents. Under those documents, we have the Head Start Early Head Start Policy Council bylaws, Head Start Early Head Start Policy Council impasse resolution agreement with the business committee, and Head Start Early Head Start selection criteria and eligibility, and Head Start Early Head Start eligibility recruitment, selection, enrollment, and attendance, the SEA plan. They're seeking approval for all of these items. Do you want to take them one by one? Okay, first item is regarding the council bylaws.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Motion to approve the Head Start Early Head Start Policy Council bylaws.
There's a motion by Lisa. Is there support to approve the Head Start Early Head Start Council bylaws? Policy Council bylaws.
Second.
There's a second by Fawn, motion by Lisa. Questions, comments on the policy bylaws? If none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions. Motion carries. The next item is Head Start, Early Head Start Policy Council Impasse Resolution Agreement with the United Business Committee.
I do have a question regarding this one.
Yes, Lisa?
Item number C talks about what would happen if an impasse continues to exist. And it talks about bringing an outside mediator in. And I have two questions. One is, do you have somebody that's already identified as the outside mediator? And the second question that I have is, are we looking at, why don't we also look at internal resources, a third person to come in from inside the organization that's already trained in this area?
We could look at internal resources. I believe the Office of Head Start, though, recommends that we look at external resources so there's no conflict of interest.
And how often have we used it? Have we run into the situation where
we've never had to use this in the past.
I do have a follow-up question, Madam Chair.
Sure, Lisa.
Who pays for those costs should it ever get to that point? And are they budgeted for?
It would fall under our budget, the Head Start budget.
Okay. And are they budgeted for?
That I'm not sure. We do have a line item for outside resources or services, so I would imagine it would fall under that category.
Any other questions regarding the business committee and Head Start impasse policy criteria and eligibility? I think those are some relevant questions that Lisa has asked about whom would do the mediation and arbitration and how those costs would be maintained. So I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Any other questions regarding this item? If not, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I don't think there's a motion on
that. Yeah.
One, sorry.
Make that motion.
Motion
to approve the impasse resolution agreement with the business committee.
There's a motion. Is there support on the impasse agreement?
Support.
Motion by Melinda, second by DeHasse to approve this agreement. If there are no other questions, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Abstentions? Motion carries with one opposition by Lisa Summers.
For the record statement, please.
Sure.
I would just like to state for the record that I do appreciate the way that the agreement is laid out, and I think it's a good one. I just don't support it because I think that we should first look to internal resources before we go to outside resources. So I just want to make sure that it's clear that it's not that I don't support what your intent is here. I think it's a good intent. I just think we look internally first.
Okay.
Okay. The next item is regarding the Oneida Head Start, early Head Start selection criteria and eligibility for Head Start participants. Questions or comments regarding the eligibility criteria? Lisa?
Real quickly, because I'm not locating it very fast here, is can you just please describe very quickly what are the numbers that we're looking at for the individuals that are outside of the requirements that the tribe is specifically funding? I think there's a certain number of open enrollment positions or enrolled positions that were above and beyond the financial requirements that we're just funding.
Correct. We still use this current criteria for all that we enroll, but those children that fall above the poverty guidelines are under the tribe's funding. So if they're considered over income, they're under the tribe's funding.
Okay.
So that's your question?
Yeah, so on the report, it says, so in the percentages on the income, it talks about 101% up to the 200%. Are those all included in that figure, or is it just certain categories above the poverty guidelines?
All are included.
All are included in that number. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions regarding the eligibility? Is there a motion for the eligibility?
Motion to approve, Madam Chair.
Second.
Motion by Melinda, second by Lisa to approve the selection criteria and eligibility for Oneida Head Start and Early Head Start program. Any other questions or comments regarding eligibility? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is Oneida Head Start, Early Head Start eligibility recruitment, selection, enrollment, and attendance, the ERSEA plan.
Motion to approve, Madam Chair.
Second.
There's a motion by Melinda and seconded by Fawn to approve the plan for eligibility. Questions or comments regarding this item? I just have a real quick question. How many kids do we actually enroll?
152.
Okay. Fawn?
I was just wondering, is there a waiting list?
There is a short waiting list, yes.
Okay. I was just wondering if there was ever discussion about if there would be like two sessions for Head Start?
There has been a discussion. We would have to get that approved through the Office of Head Start before we could move forward with that. We would also have to identify the need.
What kind of a waiting list do you have? Is it 10, 50?
I would say about 10.
Okay.
I don't do enrollment anymore, so, but.
Okay. All right. Any other questions regarding this item for the plan? If not, there's motion by Melinda, second by Fawn to approve the Head Start, Early Head Start recruitment, selection, enrollment, and attendance plan. Are all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is a travel report submission from Fawn Billy regarding My Brother's Keeper Community Challenge National Convening meeting February 11th through the 13th, and
motion to approve the report.
There's a motion by Brandon. Was there support?
Support.
Support by Lisa to approve the travel report submitted from Fawn regarding My Brother's Keeper meeting. This was approved originally on the January 28th, and meeting was held February 11th through the 13th. Any highlights, Fawn?
We had, I met with college recent graduate Daisy Francoeur, who just graduated from UW Parkside, and our presentation was on her transition post-secondary schooling, transitioning to college. And one of her challenges during that time was the challenge was like the language and culture in the college atmosphere and her feeling disconnected. So one of her initiatives through My Brother's Keeper was being able to start a First Nations committee. So she's the president of that. And from there, she was able to get area on campus where other tribal students are able to go and to do their homework. Any mentoring that when they brought any other students in to see the campus. So I guess just having that feeling, a sense of home and a community bond with other tribal students. We talked about high school dropout and college dropout rates, that out of all nationalities across the U.S., that Native American has the highest rate at 50%. Not saying Oneida is here, but we are part of the national average. We also lead in suicides among all nationalities. So some of the things that were brought to the table was making bridge programs, helping our kids transition from each grade, elementary to middle to high school to college. And a lot of times they struggle in college, mainly because we have our first generation kids going to college, which is a good thing, but also they're struggling and we want to help how to bridge that, how to make them, keep encouraging them to stay in school, I guess. So, thank you.
And I guess I'll add to that, Daisy Francoeur was chosen to represent all of Indian Country. On the panel, she was the only Native American and only female on the youth panel. And this was in front of, I believe, 100-plus representatives from across the country, including Michael Nutter from Philadelphia. So these were cities and mayors. And it wasn't just a Indian Country thing. It was a national thing that Daisy was representing the tribe and Indian Country in her capacity. So it's kind of a big thing. I mean, we kind of gloss over and kind of like, oh, yeah, another White House thing. But an opportunity for a youth to go to one of those things like that, it can be a life-changing experience for her and her family. And like right now we have one more White House staffer that's Oneida now, and that's just a recent thing. So those types of things where Oneidas are getting recognized nationally is kind of, we're becoming one of those trendsetters again where Oneidas being looked at as a leader in many of the initiatives that the country is trying to promote good practices. And so, you know, it's a pat on the back, you know, that we don't like to take or we don't take enough of. And we need to highlight some of these successes to the community and let them know that we are doing very well despite budget, despite not hearing good things. We're doing very well compared to all the other tribes.
So there's a motion on the floor to approve the travel report from Fawn Billy regarding my brother's keeper meeting. And Lisa, were you a motioner or a seconder? The seconder was it made by Brandon and seconded by Lisa to approve the report for Fawn Billy. Any other questions or comments on the travel report? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to accept a travel report from Brandon Stevens regarding my brother's keeper community challenge national convening meeting January 28th.
Just to highlight the report, I initially was
there a handout?
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Initially went out for the same My Brother's Keeper kickoff meeting, but it was canceled due to that humongous storm going through the Boston area. But we had some outstanding issues on the Hill to address as well, so I set up at least, I think, five or six meetings. One, we met with the Department of Interior to talk about the right-of-way, also the biased issue that's mentioned in one of the petitions. We talked about that. We went into great detail, which we talked about in executive session. We met with Bobby Hamill in Sean Duffy's office about, and Gwen Moore, about the reauthorization of the housing plan. So was reauthorized, I think, a couple years ago, and it needs to be reauthorized every 5 years. So they're in full support of the reauthorization, which we need support on both sides. Duffy is a Republican, upcoming Republican. And another key meeting was the NRCC, Native American Program Kickoff. That's the National Republican Commission that heads a lot of the American Indian initiatives. They talked about the reauthorization of the housing plan. They also talked about the Cartieri fix. And they were looking for the tribe for more direction on some of the initiatives that we want to push forward as well, working with legislative affairs and developing those talking points and issues that we can bring forward to them in the future.
Manager?
Jenny.
Make a motion to approve. Accept the travel report for Councilman Stevens for the MVK Community Challenge National Convening, D.C., January 28th.
Motion by Jenny. Is there support?
Madam Chairwoman, I would like to ask some questions about Brandon's report.
Okay, there's a motion by Jenny. Who was the seconder? Trish? Can you please speak up, though? It's really hard for me to hear who's speaking. Motion by Jenny, second by Trish, to approve the travel report for Brandon for My Brother's Keeper. Questions and comments? Yeah.
Brandon, you said that when you met with Bobby Hamill, Office of Congressman Sean Duffy, he would like any information we can provide him on the court case involving the tribe and the city of Green Bay on your waste energy investment. What was that all about, and who brought it up?
That was more so... Sean Duffy, Bob Hamill is the legislative assistant for Sean Duffy, who is the congressperson up in the north, the northeast, eastern Wisconsin, and he's pro-business. And so he's looking at the distinction between how can business work with government and how can that be more effective. So it wasn't necessarily about the issue per se of the biomass. It was more so how can government do business with business, basically, without having these types of things arise. So if there's a fix to moving forward, how can we make that more business-friendly?
So what kind of information did you tell them about the waste-to-energy?
It was very general. Like I said, we weren't really talking about the waste-to-energy plant at all. It was more so about the process of making sure that when conducting business with government has a type of due process and ability to make sure that the government follows through.
So what information are you guys planning to provide him on the waste to energy investment?
Like I said, we're going to talk about fixes to government process as far as business practices. So I know you're getting at, and it's not going there. It's going to legislative remedies to making sure that we can conduct business with government a lot more easier.
Well, what about the whole issue about when Seven Gens were lying to the city of Green Bay in order to get a permit? Like, what was that even brought up in your discussion?
That we weren't even close to the, you know, the.
Because fundamentally, that is the heart of the issue.
Yeah, we weren't talking about the aspects of the case at all. It was more so how do we move forward, again, to make sure that businesses can have businesses with government.
Okay. So what kind of information are you planning to give Green Bay or about the City of Green Bay case?
Absolutely nothing about the case. We're talking about moving forward again.
Yeah, moving forward, what is your intent to provide? What kind of information will you be providing? And will you also provide General Tribal Council the same information?
If they want to hear it, I can give it to them. But it's more so how do we, if we want to do another business with the City of Green Bay, local government, state government, how can we get bonding? How can we get those types of things to make sure that we're making a good business decision in dealing with, you know, a government?
Well, I would say telling the truth to other governmental entities would be a great start. The fact that OSGC has demonstrably lied to the government, to the people and surrounding communities,
sure.
And to try to continue to defend that, that's not very good business practice.
And we're going to stop because that information is contained within a case that is being litigated. So you believe that they're lying. There hasn't been a decision on whether they or not they had. That's in the court case at this point. So
Biden himself did go on the record as saying yes, the waste energy plant had
opinion,
no stats, and you know that's not true.
Point of order called on you, Leah. So please honor that.
Well, if you're telling us we can't discuss this because it's in litigation, then why was he discussing it with somebody else that's not even a tribal member?
There are public documents out there about this case in general. So the councilman is telling you that he was talking with the congressman about how to better the process, that there's a concern from local businesses, not just us, about how to do business with a government such as the City of Green Bay. And there is a fear out there that because if an individual or a company does business with the City of Green Bay, the City of Green Bay can just pull a conditional use permit or a permit.
True.
So he's talking about from the congressional perspective, they want to deal with it from a legislative perspective. How can local governments do better business with not just us, but with businesses in the surrounding communities? So he is interested more about the legislative part of it than the actual case. That's what Brandon's telling you.
So if there are these public documents, then will we be able to obtain them from the tribal secretary's office?
They're in the newspaper. I mean, you see the articles from the newspaper. I don't know. Did you hand
the newspaper
them any
is the newspaper.
About
I'm talking
the
about the actual court, the documents that have been submitted
Madam
to
Chair.
The court.
Lisa?
Leah, I think you're raising a really good point, and I understand what your questions are, but you yourself have posted those documents on your website. So I think for you to ask that type of question when you've already done it, I'm not understanding.
Well, I shouldn't have to do that. Those should be documents that are easily obtained from your office and from the law office.
And you've done your research and you've posted those documents that you're referencing yourself. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
I would appreciate that you would also post them somewhere as well, because General Tribal Council said that you had an obligation to keep it informed about the status of the dissolution, and you've all refused to do that so far. Obviously, I was called out of order when it was in my intent to follow up with a General Tribal Council directive that's been ignored for over a year.
And that isn't true, and that might be your perspective, and I appreciate your opinion, but we're not going to go there. The agenda item right now that we're talking about is a travel report. We're not going to debate about the Seven Generations Corporation issue, Leah. So
in the context of his travel report, he's admitted that he has discussed the waste to energy investment with people
right.
that don't even belong to the tribe, and then you don't make those same documents available to tribal members when they do ask. I would appreciate it if I can start to ask the tribal secretary's office for the court case, not just this one, but the Chicago Cook County case as well. Because
you can make that request
documents.
To the tribal secretary's office, and Brandon just clarified what information that he shared with the congressman. So I appreciate your comments, and we are going to move on at this point. Business committee, you have any other further questions on the travel report? If not, is there a motion to approve?
There is a motion on the
there
table.
There is one.
Oh, there's a motion on the table. Made and seconded. Motion made by Jenny, seconded by Trish to approve the travel report for Councilman Brandon Stevens to the MBK Community Challenge National Convening Council in Washington, D.C. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is a travel request by Councilman Brandon Stevens to the NAGA Trade Show and Convention in San Diego, California, March 30th through April 2nd.
Chair. Motion to approve Brandon Stevens to NAGA Trade Show and Convention March 30th through April 2nd.
Second for discussion.
Okay, motion by Fawn, seconded by Lisa to approve the travel. Discussion, Lisa?
In the packet for today's meeting, it's indicating that the request is a handout. I don't know if I've missed that or.
You guys didn't get anything?
No. Just the report.
Yeah, we can defer it till
this afternoon.
This afternoon.
Motion to withdraw.
Or just motion.
Motion to withdraw.
Motion to withdraw the motion, or one withdraws the motion. Does the seconder agree? Well, I guess you have to agree. Do you want to defer this until the end
motion
of the agenda?
Motion to defer to the next meeting.
The end of the agenda?
End of this afternoon. Okay. Motion to defer this afternoon.
Okay. A motion to defer till this afternoon from Fawn. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by DeHasse. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Excuse me, Brad, we're fine. I apologize, you can't hear us. You just said that. So what just happened was that they were going to approve Brandon's travel. Unfortunately, he didn't have the information in the packet, nor was it a handout, so they deferred it to the end of the meeting so that he could get us the information. Travel request, yes.
So that's coming up at the end of the day?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
No problem. Thank you for reminding me. The next item on the agenda would be into executive session. The chief financial report would be first.
Madam Chair.
Jenny.
Make a motion to approve the chief financial report.
For a second.
Support.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Trish to approve the chief financial officer report. Comments or questions? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Chief Counsel report.
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
Motion to accept the Chief Counsel report and including the requested action within the report.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny to accept the Chief Counsel report and approve the requested action contained within that report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under the Business Committee Officers Report, there is no requested action. Next would be the Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications Report.
Madam Chair. Motion to accept the Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications Report.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny to accept the Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications Report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under the Audit Committee, to accept the Audit Committee meeting minutes of January 15th, 2015.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Motion by DeHasse. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Fawn. To accept the Audit Committee meeting minutes of January 15th, 2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The internal audit report for January 2015.
Madam
Chair? Jenny?
Make a motion to approve internal audit report for January 2015.
Is there a second? Seconded by Trish. Motion by Jenny, seconded by Trish to accept the internal audit report for January 2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Acceptance of the slot compliance audit and lift the confidentiality requirement allowing tribal members to view the audit.
Madam Chair?
DeHase?
I'd like a motion to defer this item till the next business committee meeting.
Second.
Motion by DeHase, seconded by Lisa to defer the acceptance of the slot compliance audit to the next business committee meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is to accept the CRAPS rules of play audit and lift the confidentiality requirement allowing tribal members to view the audit.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn to accept the CRAPS rules of play audit and lift the confidentiality requirement allowing tribal members to view the audit. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The review of the Development Division concerns. I think this was just to accept as FYI. And that the parties would take the necessary steps.
What are the next steps?
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
Make a motion to accept the information as, accept the report as information, and to have the appropriate parties work together to follow up with any required action.
Okay, motion by Lisa, is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Jenny to accept the report as information, have the appropriate parties follow up as necessary. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under unfinished business, the discussion regarding the acreage in Brown County. Make a motion to accept their information as FYI and request gaming and intergovernmental affairs to move forward as we discussed.
Second.
Okay. Okay, motion. Oh,
I'll make that motion.
Oh, I thought there was.
I can't make a motion.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
Okay, Trish will make the motion. Jenny will second the motion to accept the information as FYI and request that the gaming division and intergovernmental affairs and communications move forward as discussed. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Follow-up motion, Madam Chair.
Lisa?
I believe that we also requested that we have a potentially a special BC meeting scheduled no later than March 4th to address the follow-up action on this item. So I'll make that a motion. Support.
So a motion to request the Secretary's office to schedule a special business committee meeting before March 4th?
On or before March
4th. Seconded by Trish?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Family care implementation. I believe this was to accept the update and request the capacity numbers and additional information that the business committee had requested.
So moved.
Motion by DeHase, seconded by Brandon to accept the update and request the health division to provide capacity numbers and any additional information that's being requested. Okay. Debbie?
As of late yesterday and early this morning, there has been further action taken by the state. Governor Walker is at this point issuing direction that family care is going to change drastically once again. Basically, what's going to be happening is that under his new proposed reform to family care, as of this morning, no county, tribe, band, or combination of counties, tribes, or bands may create a long-term care district after June 30th of 2015. There's a number of other changes that are being proposed to family care, although it has not been proposed to his joint finance as of yet. But all of our discussions that took place on Monday may change again based upon this information. There is going to be an update that is going to be provided on Monday, March 2nd in Kenosha, based upon the recommended changes that Governor Walker is proposing. So we will have representation attending that meeting in Kenosha, as well as discussion with the Wisconsin Tribal Health Directors Association meeting on Wednesday, March 4th in Wausau. So we're, in the meantime, trying to get another conference call scheduled with the lobbyist, the new lobbyist that's coming under Jim Tenuta's office. So we will continue to work at that right now and keep you posted as to the changes that are coming up.
Lisa? Madam Chair, in light of the new information, I would like to make a motion that we also add this update.
Please make an amendment.
I'm sorry. I would like to make an amendment to the motion that we add this topic to our special BC meeting that we just approved to be scheduled.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
The amendment is that Lisa made and seconded by Jenny is to add this, the family care implementation item to for an update to the special business committee meeting that would be scheduled to discuss the acreage in Marin County. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. On to the main motion, which is to accept the update and request the health division to provide the capacity numbers and any additional information that we discussed. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. There is no table business. Under new business, the review of the complaint regarding the Personnel Commission.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
Motion to accept the complaint and defer to the LOC and Law Office for additional follow-up to be brought back to the March 25th BC meeting.
Second.
Okay, motion by Fawn, seconded by Lisa to accept the complaint and defer this complaint to the LOC and the Law Office to bring back recommendations for the Business Committee at their March 25th, 2015 BC meeting. Correct?
Yes.
Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Number two, the update regarding the Internal Services complaint.
Chair.
Lisa.
Motion to accept the recommendation presented to the Oneida Business Committee.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Trish to accept the recommendation presented to the Business Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Number three, the approval of a temporary wage adjustment. I believe this would be a motion to approve with an effective date of today.
So moved.
Motion by DeHasse, seconded by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Was there an opposed? Or did you just say something? Oh, okay. Number four, the approval of limited waiver of sovereign immunity for Vision Oneida LLC contract 2015-0110.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
Motion to defer to the next business committee meeting and have the law office work with the Division of Land Management to address the identified concerns.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn to defer this item to the next business committee meeting and have the law office work with land management to rectify the concern. The identified concerns. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The approval of procedural exception for one offer to purchase.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
Motion to approve the procedural exception not to exceed the appraised value.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny to approve the procedural exception for one offer to purchase not to exceed the appraised value. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. And number six, the approval of the business committee responses to the four petitions. Can that, What do you want to do with this? Because the responses were actually in the packet.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Motion to accept the approved BC responses as information.
Okay. Motion by Lisa, seconded by DeHasse, to accept the BC responses to the four petitions as FYI. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Do you want to go back to Brandon's travel request?
Yes.
Here's my travel request. There's a quick memo. And my understanding that Secretary Summers is going to bring forward a matrix of past a checklist of things to happen. So I'll make sure that that checklist will be complete by that meeting.
Okay.
As the delegate for the National Gaming Association, representing 33 tribes, I guess that's one of the reasons we'll push forward a lot of the agendas that Oneidas have in the Midwest.
Brad, you said you had, I had a question on this issue?
First of all, who's paying for this?
Right now, I'm confirming that the organization will pay for my flight out there and working on the rooms through the organization.
So NICA will be paying for everything?
The travel and lodging, yeah.
I'd like to see that confirmation on, because otherwise I see it as a conflict of interest.
Why? How is that?
Isn't that your dad that runs that?
I don't see it as a conflict. I represent the 33 tribes of the Midwest, so I'm the voice of those tribes, so it isn't a son thing.
And my other thing is, General Tribal Council did make a directive that chair and vice chair only travel.
That's not true.
That's not true.
That is.
No,
it's
not.
It was done at a General Tribal Council meeting.
No.
No.
That was not a motion.
Oh, I think it should be. I think the vice chair should be the one going.
At this time, I think it's more appropriate for Brandon to do so. As Brandon had indicated, he is the delegate for the Midwest region, which he represents 33 tribes in the Midwest region, which is Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa.
In Iowa, yeah.
Yep. So the chairwoman is, I believe, planning on attending along with Councilwoman Jennifer Webster. So... The chairwoman is traveling.
You should look that up for that directive.
I believe it was a suggestion, but it was never a motion by the.
As a directive. Okay. But as long as it's being paid for by NIGA, are all of you being paid for by them?
No.
Just Brandon?
Just Brandon.
So, yeah. Yeah. I'm on the executive committee for NIGA, so that's one of the reasons why. I
understand the chair, but then it should just be the chair and you, nobody else. I mean, why should the tribe be paying for all this travel? I mean, you keep telling us we're in a budget crisis. You got no money for nothing. But yet, you know, there's all this traveling. Somebody's got to stay home and do some work here. So.
Thank you. Do we have a motion on the floor? Is there a motion on the floor? No. There's no motion on the floor.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by Fawn, to approve the travel request. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstention.
Brandon abstains. Motion carries. And that completes our agenda, and we will recess for reports at 1:30.
You did executive?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
motion to recess till 1:30.
Okay, motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to recess to 1:30.
Support.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine.
You always want to give you time to like get your stuff together.
Yeah. What is our meeting on Monday for that you're requesting? I'm not real clear on that. Committee member. members. President DeHasse went to the workshop at the Radisson. I'm not sure where Brandon went or if he's coming back or not. I think we went MIA last time we had a meeting, so hopefully he'll be back. So we'll just continue with our reports. The first item is the Internal Services report.
Good afternoon, Joni Buckley, Internal Services. Before you, you have the report, and I can certainly point out a couple of things or open it up for questions. The first thing is, on this quarter, you'll see a lot of activities that reflect the collaboration. So collaboration across division, across departments, and really working together towards some strong outcomes. We did have the pancake breakfast this last Saturday. It was well attended at the Veterans, and we're very thankful for all of their support that they gave us on it. With MIS, one thing just to note is we had a loss of our security person, so they went to another entity for a lot more salary, but we went ahead and plugged the hole up with somebody else because that's a compliance issue for internal audit. So we've taken care of that in case anybody's out there making those comments. And then on the grant, I also want to say that through my omission, I didn't have the grants, so I gave you the grants report here. In their report, you're going to see that they exceeded their goals for the first quarter. Their goal for the year is 7.5. Last year they made $8 million, so they've exceeded their goals, and they gave you a list of some of the grants that they have out there. As far as agriculture is concerned, a couple of initiatives that we have. You'll see the flyer that I also gave you. This is a grant flyer for us to do some workshops within the for community members on farming. So we received a grant. We just put this together, and we've been rolling it out. So there's more of these flyers around the community, healthcare, social services. The other thing is we're going to be launching the website on Friday or Monday for the Food Sovereignty Summit. In the past, we had it in April, and we always had snow, so we moved it to October. So these just came off the press, so you have copies of this, and we're just starting all the planning initiatives on it. That kind of gives you some highlights that were not in the report, and if you have any questions, I'll certainly open answer them.
How are things coming along at the print shop?
Pardon?
How are things coming along at the print shop?
They are coming along. We have a small hurdle. The manager took a leave of absence for 30 days, and so she's not there, but I think everybody's pulling together. And one thing that's really helped them a lot is the scheduling for the GTC mailings. That has really helped adhering to those schedules and for pre-planning. The van, there was a concern with the safety issue, so we just swapped that out 2 days ago, and they loaned us another vehicle for it. So we're moving along on it.
Okay. Who's in charge in absence of the manager?
We have a systemed approach. So right now I'm working on the front side of it. And so they're all calling in. Barb is taking all of the calls and working for last minute emergencies on anything they have. Such as last week, we had an issue with inks that we couldn't get for a mailer. So Lisa jumped through a lot of hoops on that. Michelle is over there working on the backside and starting from the mail center and working with new routes for them. We have a huddle meeting every Monday at 8 a.m. with the complete staff, including Michelle, Barb, and myself. And so there we talk about the operational goals for the week.
How is the longhouse construction coming along?
Slow, but we're moving along. The biggest challenge in that is going to be the bark and making sure that we don't have to swap out the bark constantly. Michelle is still moving along with it. Obviously, when we stopped the presses a little bit on it, we had to wait. We looked at bark at Menominee. The challenge there is that when they pull the wood down, they're not barking it at the same time. And so the next step is to really look at having some synthetic bark on the top so that it's weatherproof, and they have an example in Canada of that, so that would probably be another step. Other than that, we definitely want to complete that.
Any other questions or comments for Internal Services?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Lisa?
I just had one comment, and it's just from a, because your theme is collaboration for this report, I just wanted to give you a brief thank you for the MIS department. They're continuing to work well with the website steering team, which is kind of redesigning and reformulating how we're going to be approaching the management of the tribe's website. So I just want to make sure that a thank you gets back down to Dave.
Okay.
And to let you know that they've been working very closely with who now my designee is Nathan King, to make sure that things are moving forward with the website for the tribe. So I just wanted
Good.
To say thank you
thank
for
you.
That.
And I spoke to Dave about the website and the collaboration there and mentioned to him that Nate and I had spoken about it too, to try and look beyond just a myopic look of the tribal website, but how do you integrate all the other things into that website so it comes and goes just like a house has multiple entry points. So we're looking at that too, but thank you very much.
Madam Chair?
Yeah, Jenny?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the Internal Services Division report.
There's a motion by Jenny, and was there a second? Second by Trish to accept the Internal Services report. Melinda.
I just had some information. Debbie Danforth and I just returned from the Region 5 HHS consultation, and there we were talking with SAMHSA and HRSA about grants management and the tribe's ability to obtain grants. They have all this money available for tribes to apply for grants, but they're having a really hard time. One, the tribe is having a hard time, I should say tribes are having a hard time matching the availability of grants with some of the things that we're doing, because we're still, they're advancing their technology, but we're like behind the eight ball from a national perspective, because we're just not funded at a level of need that is required. So what we asked HRSA and SAMHSA to do is take a look at why tribes aren't applying, why tribes are not receiving the grants, and trying to look at the process to make it a lot easier. The Office of Minority Health was encouraging us to apply for some of their grants, and they were going to offer grant training. And so I'm hoping that you could relay that message to grants and let them know that I would really appreciate them attending that, because I think there we could find some potential matches for our, not just our health division, but behavioral health and other areas within the tribe. So I wanted to bring that to your attention, so that they had said that they had not scheduled them yet, but if I get the emails and up here from the committee, we'll definitely forward those on.
Good, thank you. That's a very good point in it. We need all of the help we can get. And just as a follow-up on some outcomes, a lot of times it's exactly that, going there and meeting the people and knowing that they have some funds available. We've received two grants indirectly because the administrator has come here from USDA and they knew what we were doing firsthand. So when the grant was submitted, it makes it easier for them to tell our story. So we appreciate that, and any help you can give us, we're there.
What happened with there was an agreement with UW-Madison to do some feasibility studies. Did you get those reports back?
Correct. We have a meeting this afternoon at 3 o'clock with Tahasi and Nathan and Environmental and us specifically on that, and I have the report with me. I can give it to you now, or I can...
Can you just tell me where it's at?
Yes. What they did was two feasibility studies. The first one was for the food center, and it was conceptual design, only a conceptual design for it, so that we could decide, is this the road we want to go down or not? If we do, then we at least have a footprint and conceptual design to roll it out. And that, I think CDPC is going to be talking about the projects next month. So that was one of the studies. And then the second one is an agricultural land study that said in all of our lands of Oneida, let's assume that we wanted to increase or enhance our agricultural footprint, what would it look like? Would you have the corridor at 29, as we've talked about before, and plant some trees and make that more of an entrance to tourism? If you did a commercial composting, where would that go? Where's the food outlets? How does the supply chain go? If you had a food hub, where would it be? So it's a land assessment that shows all of the areas for it. I think they're going to be presenting that one. Dr. Morales will be presenting that at the UW Tribal Summit.
Okay. Did you have something, Jacob?
Yeah, I just have a suggestion for the website revamping. I'm not sure if you've worked with higher ed in for the internship program. Okay. But I just was thinking maybe have a summer intern help with the design, the layout, and the aesthetics. Maybe someone who is familiar with Photoshop to help, you know, with the communications efforts mm-hmm. between the government affairs and the different entities in the community.
That's a very good suggestion. I know that Nathan had also mentioned that he'd like to get an outside perspective and an inside perspective from other people. So great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your food sovereignty summit in October, how is that being funded?
What we have right now is two ways. One, Kellogg is the one that asked us to put it on, and because I didn't have a grant, I personally didn't want to go down that route, but they suggested that they could give us some funding. So they're going to give us $50,000, but it doesn't hit till October, till their second fiscal year. And they're giving First Nations $50,000 that hits now. So they told us that we could use their $50,000 for matched funds if we needed to go after further grants. I asked if we could use it. First, they were only going to give us $50,000, and I told them it wasn't enough for us to put it out there without having $100,000. So they're going to give us $50,000, First Nations $50,000, and they'll send the letter. Once we get this all ready to roll up, and then the registrations, we usually get about 30,000. The first Ag Summit, we did it with 250 people for 95,000. So I felt that 100,000 would suffice on it, and we're looking at 120. The second Ag Summit, we had a lot of money, so we did it for about 180,000. But we also used a lot of the money for collateral pieces, for brochures, to bring other people in. So before we pulled the trigger, we wanted to make sure we could at least cover raw costs on it. I also want to say, in case there's any confusion, that Dan Cornelius is putting on his summit. It was a regional one with 40 people 3 years ago. 40 people here. He's trying to build it up as this Ag Summit, and that's in April. We certainly want to support him, and there'll be a letter coming up this afternoon requesting a tribal leader to welcome the guests, and so I'll have that.
Could you provide the committee with a follow-up on the budget for the summit? If the money to do the conference is coming from two outside organizations, and if we're sounds like or appears to be we're sponsoring this by your information, it would be helpful to know what that budget is and what
Absolutely.
That commitment is. So if you can provide that to
the
committee.
I certainly will.
Okay.
Just a quick question.
Hi, Jenny.
You said there's a egg summit besides the food summit, sovereignty summit?
Right. It's called a food sovereignty summit, and Dan Cornelius was putting it on. And just to give you a little bit a synopsis of the history, 3 years ago, he had a food summit here for about 40 people. And when we put in our first food summit, because I was putting it right near his date, I invited him to be for free with us. Last year, he gave us a sponsorship of $11,000. This year, he wanted to take the Ag Summit and fly out an RFP and let somebody else have it. And I said it kind of was the baby of the tribe. And so then when Kellogg came to the table, I mentioned to Dan we were going to do it in October because I wanted to wrap it around more of the cultural side and the Husking Bee side of it. So he went ahead and did his food sovereignty, and it's caused confusion. We are supporting his with Jahinquin the cannery doing some experiential learning. They're staying at the Radisson, and we certainly said that we would support him with some speakers and that I'd fly the letter up today requesting the tribal leader to welcome the guests. So it's apples and oranges, and I know it caused a lot of confusion, so we had to pull the tribal logo off it so that it wouldn't be confused with this one.
I guess that was my question, because we are, you know, it does say hosted by the tribe and First Nations development. But who is the point of contact for this?
On this one, on the website, it's First Nations website because they set up the registration on it. So we usually have a link there. And if you go to the website, and you'll see all the pages, and I'll give you the static pages if you want. They're different contacts. For vendors, it's Kirby or Bill Vivort. For sponsorships, for sponsoring other tribes to come in, which is another area we're doing. It's Raymond Foxworth from First Nations and myself. For all the logistics of the hotel, it's Mike Matoxin. And we just have it the same as we've had it before. We've gone 2 years working this out.
Any other questions or comments for Joni on her report? Lisa, did you have a question?
Yeah, I have one more. I know that we're constantly having issues with supply and demand over at the market. How is that faring out for this first quarter?
It's been a nice challenge.
Okay.
It has been a nice challenge, and I'll tell you where the supply and demand challenges were. Over this last year, the boiler went out. That was the pressure point. So we cut back, and we went back to D-high. This last winter, the corn didn't all come off the field before January, so that was another pressure point. So we set in a calendar this year that it all had to be off by November. They met the deadline of November 4th this year. So then the pressure point became the dry down. So we've got some peanut wagons. They also got the Olson Road as another avenue for dry down. Where we are right now is that the cannery can project that they can do 300 pounds max. We're looking at 200 pounds a week. So the most important thing right now is to keep the supply coming in at 200 pounds a week. I think a lot of this information also came to light because of the value-added grant that we had with the white corn. And so we have a market study done on that and price points. And so then we also met at the Oneida Market, Jeff and myself and Crystal and Matt Denny and Vicky at the cannery to look at the pressure points and to go back and look at her product line, reduce her product line to the best sell product lines, and then let Jack go outsource a private label for the rest of it, like let's say pickles would be one. For instance, so that's what we did, and now we're repositioning Jahinqua also at looking at the max we can pull off in white corn, 11 acres, get the yields up from 23 an acre max. If it can get up to 40 then we have enough supply. We know that for the community, we need 10,000 pounds. So those start to become our baselines on it. We also were challenged with the other person, the labor, because we had a person in there, then we didn't, then we put another person in, then he quit, then we had it held. Now we have it posted for another person. So as much as I can say we're trying harder, it is going to be a never ending.
I was just curious about that specifically because I seen that the prices went up a little bit for the white corn specifically, and then how that related to us introducing the new product with the white corn flour for the pan. And so I was just trying to figure out, you know, if we're stressing our demand on one side, does it make a whole lot? I mean, I guess need to understand a little bit more.
Right. The white corn, the agreement we have with the retail, which probably doesn't favor them as much, so I will put that out there, is that our products have to go at our price. So if the white corn is $10, they get 10% off every product as shelf life. So it's a marketing price. So they get 10% off everything. If the demand goes where the product needs to go up, they will tell us the price, and then they might say, hey, you can sell it for a dollar more, like the apple chips. They suggested we go up, and they only still get 10%. Because we've got to measure the price point in the community. There's some other strategies that we can look at, and one of the strategies we'd like to look at is to open up the 54 more for community. If you wanted to do a discount there, that's one thing. The pancake mix, we got some equipment off the grant, and we've already said that we wouldn't be placing it at the market until maybe May, because we've got to get the dehydrated corn in first. And I'm also working with Washington, D.C. on the organic certification. So I've gone all the way up to USDA organic person who wrote the book to try and get some assistance from them. I think that in the long run, where we would like to be is to have the dehydrated corn very stable and to have that production. We'd like to go after the value-added grant for the apples and beef up the apple chips as a dehydrated product. And they're also going to be looking at apple chunks, I think it's called. And then repositioning Jahinqua to look more at strawberries to make it more cultural, tied to us so that we can have stories versus the tomatoes or something like that for the salsa. And then focus 80% of our work on dehydrated products, which have a longer shelf life.
When are the OSIS trainings on Saturdays going to start, or did they start already?
They are on the back of this calendar here, okay. And so they start on March the 7th. And I just want to say that this is a collaboration of a lot of people. We went after the grant because we already do a lot of it, so we might as well get some grant money to pay for the supplies. So the first one is with health and with environmental food safety certification. So if you know any people that want to sell products, they need to get that certification first. We have two people already, but that's about it. And then every other one is on Saturdays. We're reaching out to different people, like the Orchard will be doing the March 21st. The branding, we'll be doing that with tourism and Apache and the print. So we've kind of collaborated everybody together. And then the other thing this does is down the road, we can start to show that we have the knowledge base to teach.
So these aren't just solely being done by OSIFs?
No. They're being done by a lot of different people that we've found to bring it all together. But it's being done by the tribe primarily.
Is the Ag Marketing Services Grant with USDA the same as the Value Added Grant?
No. The Value Added Grant is to change the property of a product. So if you change the property, apples from the tree change to dehydrated, the white corn changes to pancake mix, that change in the property is the Value Added Grant. That value-added grant has a 20% cash match, 25% cash match, 25% in kind. So that's one of them. That's a USDA grant through rural development. The other grant, this one is an LFPP grant that they call Local Food Producers Grant. This one is through USDA Agricultural Marketing Services. This one is the same agency that has the Farmers Market Grant, because the Farmers Market Grant is very, very competitive, and we haven't gotten it twice. We went after this one, and we used 20% in-kind services to go after this one.
Is the value-added grant expired? Is it
the value-added grant, we close it out the end of this month. And so we are trying to get every PO and invoice in by the end of the month. The value-added grant was the one that we started a year and a half plus ago, and that match came from the Shakopee tribe for $20,000 for match for that one. It was an $80,000 grant, so $40,000 was new money coming in. And from that new money, we were able to secure boxes that we're going to use for samples, the corn, the milling machine that's called a supply, not a machine, it's a supply, and a lot of bags and products. They also went to four different events to showcase, and we did a lot of surveys, and we got a marketing plan out of it.
Okay. Any other questions for Joni? Yes, Lisa.
You mentioned on the under the good governance process for the Gullywee Sox that they're looking at offering a training session.
Correct.
What is the projected time frame for them to do that?
Haven't started figuring it out. What they wanted to do is kind of offer a training. Just on some of those principles, so I asked Don if there's anything we could help with. Could we team up with Apache? Could we look at tourism? What does she need? And what was her thinking on it? So she hasn't formulated her approach yet, but we're all here to try and help her with that. So if you have any ideas, I think she'd welcome them.
Nothing specific. I just like the idea that they're offering up what they're seeking, so that when areas submit articles for the gully, then it looks like they're attempting to create less work on the back end, so that they're getting the product that they need on the front end to make sure that it's meshing with what the style of the paper is. So I just think that's a really good idea.
Good,
something that we probably have needed for a while.
Right.
All right, there's a motion by Jenny and seconded by Trish to accept the Internal Services report. Any other questions or comments? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item is the Office of the Ombudsman Person. Diane?
Good afternoon. You should have the report that was submitted in front of you. Just a couple of the items that I had identified to highlight was one of the things that I had started doing with the first quarter based off of last year's strategic plan for the office. Based on doing some research and identifying some of the services that the office puts out within the organization, trying to help identify where equating that into more of a return on investment. So one of the things that I had just noted for your awareness was that some of the, based on the facilitation services the office provides and did during that quarter, and most of that, which was brought up in other parts of the report, has been being done in areas within both HRD and comprehensive health in helping them to do their strategic planning with the same process that leadership has used to help them align. And based on what those typical costs would be to bring those external trained facilitators in to do that was basically a savings of $6,000 for running them through that process, just to give a little bit of an idea of where how that equates into the work that's being done. Another thing that I just wanted to kind of highlight was under the area of awareness, accessibility, and responsiveness, one of the things that's been identified is researching ways to improve the awareness of the office. And there has been conversation, and things that I had reported out in the past was looking at that, doing the webpage development, that in combination with some of the initiatives my office has been involved in, specifically the child care complaint policy, the need of that web page. I actually just spoke with Chad today as far as getting those connections in place for getting a web page for the Ombudsman Office started. And then through our conversation, just kind of wherever some of that's going as far as the what's being used to run the web pages, just how long that might be taking as far as with some of the initial training and getting that together. Looking at some of just the identified challenges or, you know, where things are going and moving forward is just the continuous strategic planning, identifying those long, mid, and short-range goals, which the intent is, you know, this is from the first quarter, is having that transferred over into the next quarter's reports so that those are aligning with what leadership has identified with their strategic areas so they can be reported out in how that's aligning. And then just the other highlights is, again, with the collaboration that the organization is seeking, just the continuous collaborative work that the office does between different areas with some of the different initiatives that are going on within the organization. Some of them specifically, the My Brother's Keeper, some of the things that had been talked about there was looking at that identification of the services, tools, and things that are available through the organization and putting that together so that there's more of a resource hub awareness of really what there is in those different areas. I'm set to have further conversation with Brian Dockstader on that later on this afternoon. Also working with the community service team, which is through Oneida Behavioral Health, based on one of the grants that they've received, looking at how they can further some of the more of a community-managed care services based on a grant that they have. And then another big area has been with the child care complaint policy, and through that policy, having that area changing how they're handling the Consumer Complaint Act aspect and working the Ombuds Office into that as that neutral party to address some of those issues that have come before leadership from last term. So,
Jenny,
any questions?
Question, Diane. Your report, it tells us, you know, all the different areas where you're working.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as addressing complaints from the community, you answered my one question. There's no place on the website to find you for the community. If they're looking for the ombudsman, they can't find you on the website. And then how many, I'm just looking for measurables, how many complaints are you addressing a quarter? You know, I don't want details of anything, but just for me to know that you're addressing, you know, 100 complaints a month, 5 complaints a month, just something to measure by.
Yep, and I actually had some things identified here for after your guys' questions, that follow-up questions that I had for you, for the committee. With the switch of the committee,
and following initially at the beginning of this committee's term, when having met at one point with the tribal chairwoman and then there being a change in from the one specific place to the four officers, that since that time there has not been direct communication from that, from now that four-parted body with my office to set those and identify where those expectations are. What do you want to see from me so that I can meet those needs? So that was one of the things that I have in mind in saying that one of the things I would like to see from the committee is some better communication so that we're meeting each other's needs and that the communication is occurring. So that that's identified. What do you specifically want communicated out so that we can have that conversation, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, and that we can be on the same page in having that communication. Because without that kind of communication, it's very, very difficult for an office of an ombuds to be as effective as it can and should be. So that was, one of the things that I had noted as a request that once you guys had finished any of the questions you had, question that I had was, where we can go, what we can do moving forward to have those conversations happen so that we have better communication.
You know, under improved public administration, you state that to improve and increase communication between the ombudsman and leadership and management for positive organizational improvements.
Mm-hmm.
How do you define that, and when will that happen?
That's exactly what I was just talking about, was us having that communication. To be able to define that, I feel we need to have a joint conversation as to identify what communication are we looking for from each other so that that can be done.
Well, then later in your report, you state working to get everyone on the same page regarding how such matters are addressed and addressing them within a consistent process would be helpful in creating a cohesive work environment, as well as clarifying roles, responsibilities, and expectations within the organization and community. Whom are you speaking to or about?
That is following statement that was identified earlier, that having, and this is something that for a year and a half my office has been bringing forward to the committee, that to have an identified complaint process in which leadership, as our elected leaders, addresses concerns or complaints that are coming from the community that relate to the organization, how they're handled, so that they're being handled in a consistent manner would be extremely helpful. We typically and historically have a community mentality of, if I don't get the answer I want from Lisa, well, now I go to Fawn. If I don't get the answer I want from Fawn, well, I'll try Trish. The committee has never had a formatted structure or process that they've used consistently to address issues that come forward that relate to the organization and how the organization is functioning to make sure that people are using the proper channels or the channels that currently exist, therefore allowing for processes to be circumvented and creating a lot of the mistrust that currently exists between our community and the tribe as an organization and government. If that is something that the leadership is not interested in doing and addressing, it would be helpful to have that information coming back to me. As I stated, I've been bringing this matter forward for the last 2 years in the reports that I've been submitting. It's been, if you go back through the reports, it's consistently been in there, and it's not something that leadership's been interested in picking up. So that's where those other comments that you read out of the report were pertaining to that statement of the recommendation being made from the Office of the Ombudsman in the quarterly report, that this is still something that is being left unaddressed as to where improvements for the entire organization and community interaction can be made.
Do you have recommendations around improvements?
Or as far as potential complaint process to be used, yes. That's something that has been that I've been working on, and if you would like, I can have that couple different potential processes submitted to the entire committee by March, because it's February 25th, so that I can finish pulling that, because I have it, and then without any response having come back from the committee, I wasn't going to continue to further put significant work in as I was getting pulled into other areas, so yes, I would just... I would respectfully request a minimum of 2 weeks to re-pull that together and finalize those recommendations to submit to you.
Lisa?
Just to kind of add on, or to, you know, have a little bit more of a dialogue with you about that, I do know that you have brought those things forward, and I think Quality of Life at one point was actually looking at those processes from a team perspective. And I'm not sure if where Quality of Life is at right now as far as getting itself re-engaged. So that could be one of the reasons why you see this gap in continuing to address that issue. So I just want to encourage you to not let that fall to the wayside. And I think the direction that I hear the chairwoman going, and I would be inclined to do so since you're offering, is to have you bring back what those recommended changes could look like and actually start formulating an action plan to get those things completed. That would be one thing. The second thing is I did hear your message loud and clear about needing to sit down and really start framing out and identifying your clarity around what you believe the expectations are or what we believe they are with you and vice versa. So I would recommend at this point that we also take that item, that particular piece of it, and add it to our officers' meeting agenda and one of our upcoming agendas, and then really frame out what we need to do to proceed to get make sure that those things are taken care of with your office.
That would be greatly appreciated, especially since there is existing conflicting information that's been put out, which has it made some difficulties. The only question that I would have from you then is also with that is in providing those recommendations, because, again, I'm the same place where you're with you. I'm not sure where things with Quality of Life are at. There hasn't been, as far as I'm aware, much communication out. I did attend one of the first, I believe it was one of the first, when they got together, and have not noted any follow-up since then from that committee. So my request then would be, where would you like that submitted? Do you want it submitted to what is supposed to be the Quality of Life Standing Committee, or would you like it submitted to the entire business committee so that it can be directed from there as far as the recommendations on complaint process?
Can you qualify the statement that you make in your report that the Oneida Tribe is full of many policies and processes intended to assist with equity of action, efficiency in practice, and overall positive functioning? It often comes to surface that many of these policies and processes may be outdated and at times circumvented by the organization and community members, leading to inequity of how and how things are done.
Again, that goes back to, one, yes, we have multiple policies and processes because we are such a large area. Each area may have its own policy process in which it addresses whether it's consumer complaints, internal matters. Best practice, we should be reviewing all of our policies on an annual basis. Is that realistic with everything that we have? I don't know. You know, that would be where is that task identified out to under each different division and area? But yes, under best practice, they should be. We have policies, processes that exist throughout different areas that haven't been reviewed since 2005. That those are 10 years old. So that is where those statements are coming from. And when we don't review process and policy, they do become outdated, and they're not keeping up with what we're doing, so that our actions don't necessarily line up with what our processes say. We get ourselves into situations where it's, and Personnel Commission gets some of these as well. Policy states, however, this has been the practice. Practice has now set a precedence. If we were to try to work to be more on top of updating and maintaining our process and policies, we would eliminate some of those kind of issues. And again, that leads into two, where the statement is saying that then those actions taken, even though they are not in line with the policy, create areas for whether it's community members or within the organization to circumvent the process because we're not abiding by the process we ourselves have created. When you don't follow that, you are circumventing your own process. Then you lead into, well, so-and-so got it one way, you're telling me it's a different way. The process that you are handing me saying this is how something is done, that's not even what you're doing. And we create those. Well, it depends on who you are, who you know, or who you talk to. So that is where that goes back to, just as a best practice, as an organization, as a government, as a business, if we work to stay more on top of reviewing those policies and processes, we start to mitigate some of those issues that we're going to have.
Lisa?
I understand what you're saying and what you're describing. I think these are similar conversations that I know last term we had with LOC as a whole about the quality control and making sure the laws are current and going back and making sure that we're doing those quality checks and reviews. One of the things that I guess though I would be looking to you for is the more analytical piece of it, which says, you know, I had X number of complaints, say it's 10, and 10 of these complaints could have been resolved if X policy was updated to match current practices. That, for me, and I get what you're describing, and I don't disagree with you, but I guess when you, the way that it's framed out in the report, it just feels like it's an opinion. It doesn't feel like, I understand that you have experience with this because you're the one handling the complaints as they come forward, but again, from more that data perspective, the way that it's presented here, it looks like it's an opinion, not data-driven. Even though I know that you're getting your information from the cases that you're working on, so I get that. So if we can
just
translate that a little bit better, then I think maybe the way that it's presented would help us make sure that we're looking at data information and what the challenges are because of that data, not making it look like it's a personal opinion.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments for Diane? I guess I would just ask that when you do your next report, that it be more specific and less general and vague, because we're kind of just talking in circles to a degree about, well, we need to improve things, we need to improve things. Well, we need to be more specific about what it is we want to improve, why it needs to be improved, and what are some recommendations. And I guess that's kind of what I'm looking for when I see the report. So, especially because that is the content of what you do, is addressing concerns from an administrative and management and employee consideration. There needs to be more tangibles in your report. Anybody else? Is there a motion to accept this report?
So moved.
There's a motion by Melinda. Is there support?
Support.
Motion by Melinda, second by Fawn, to accept the ombudsman report for the quarter.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Lisa.
Would the motioner be acceptable to including that the request to have a meeting to start clarifying or identifying those, the request for the roles, responsibilities, and expectations be included?
Sure.
There's a motion to accept the report and to include a follow-up discussion and meeting with the business committee to address the concerns about how we can identify more specifically the goals and challenges of the ombudsman area. Any other questions or comments on the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. The next item is Oneida Nation School Board report.
Hello. Just want to offer a couple of highlights within the report. Basically, we have developed a new program within the high school setting, which is called a short diploma program. We have, since the implementation of that program, have graduated 5 students who actually had dropped out of the school, and we were able to recruit them back, work with them to complete their needed credits, and they have since received their high school diploma. And this has been received very positively in the community of those 5. Those 5 are now enrolled in continuing education and are entering into the higher education area and have been accepted and admitted to areas such as NWTC, Fox Valley. So we're encouraging those kids who were previously dropping out of the school systems to get their diplomas completed, and encouraging them to seek higher ed. We currently have 5 additional students who are currently working on the completion of their credits with the high school, and anticipating that we should have those 5 completing that process within the next couple of months as well. On January 13th, we had the a bullying expert by the name of Mike McGowan, who came in and presented several assemblies within the elementary, the middle, and the high school for the students, the staff, and the parents. His topic was based on respect and being kind to each other. The message was received very positively and was well received by a lot of the audiences, and the parents had a lot of favorable comments, as well as several of our school board members who attended the sessions. The issues that we're mainly dealing with over this past quarter have been specific to trying to fill our current staffing needs. It's very difficult for us. Within the last school year, we had a vacancy of actually 7 critical positions within the school. We lost 7 critical positions even prior to school starting, and we're still attempting to try and fill those positions. Where we're running short is that because schools have already started their sessions previously, they were already under contract, so it's been difficult to try and get those positions filled. Out of the positions that we currently are working on right now, we just completed interviews yesterday for the guidance counselor K-5. That position, we had one eligible candidate, and so we're hoping that that candidate accepts that position offer. We started out with about 12 applicants, and by the time we did the screenings, we ended up with a possible and one for sure that we knew was licensed. So we did those interviews and ended up with one who finally had the license and was eligible to offer the position to based upon the interviews. Still having difficulties in terms of finding a number of subs that we can. We're short, running short in terms of finding subs that can substitute in many of the areas where we have those vacant positions. So it's been a little bit of a tough period for the school, but we're working on trying to make those changes and those improvements. Parent-teacher conferences, we had a record attendance in terms of parent-teacher conferences, both at the elementary and at the high school, so we had good parent involvement there. Current enrollment for the school system for the quarter as of January 26th, we have 232 students in K through 5, 85 in 6 through 8, and 133 in the high school from 9 to 12, with a total of 450 students enrolled within the school system. We have 30 FACE home visit families and 18 center-based students that are in the FACE program. With that, do you have any questions?
Brendan.
When we were at the Tribal Leader Summit, there was a major concern that BAA schools, they pass off the kids to the next grade because if they don't get funding for them for the next year. And so a lot of our kids are just being pushed along the path in that context. I just overheard today of a kid doing 0% of his homework, down from 8% of his homework from last semester. So those are the things that I don't know if they're happening, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were in our schools. So how do we mitigate those types of things, and where does that, where do we find the stop gaps in doing some of those things? A lot of it is funding, but then we want to provide the quality education that the kids deserve, and if there's something we're really missing with those gaps, you know, how do the business committee help garner those types of programs? I know Sarah Wunderlich has that program where the kids are, it's basically an alternative to school because they can't go to school. There's that program out there. So, and she can't get employees. She has those positions are open and she can't get them filled. So those are some of the things that the business committee needs to be aware of as far as how can we meet those gaps, because budget, staffing levels are a major concern. And so when there's a deficiency in schooling, they're created because our focus is budget staffing models. And so how do we close that gap, making sure that we're providing service first before trying to protect the budget?
Well, I can assure you that the school board's primary concerns have been the quality of the education within the school system. I think that over the past, a pattern of 5+ years, our school system, in comparison with many of the other bureau schools, speaks for itself. We have been one of the only school systems in the area that has attained adequate yearly progress, which is basically utilizing the core competencies within the school system in comparison with the Department of Public Instruction, as well as the Bureau's competencies and how we compare with the state standards, which is essentially where you want to be. And our school system has attained that adequate yearly progress in 5+ years, which basically takes the assessments and the testing assessments that are done on specific grade levels of each category, and they compare those with the state standards in order to determine whether or not our school students are practicing or are achieving those core competencies, and our school system has. And our school system is also being recognized at the bureau level in terms of its leadership capabilities as well as the performance that we've had within the school.
So I guess the question is, how do we, because I know there's kids that aren't, there aren't there, mm-hmm. you know, and we're not preparing them for college. The kids that are prepared for college have that solid foundation at home, and they're going to succeed whether or not we give them a good education or not, because they're being pushed in a particular way. We're trying to, with higher education, how do we gauge the readiness of our kids moving on to post-secondary education and how well they're doing in post-secondary education? And that's the difficult part. We can't really measure those types of things because the system's not in place to make sure that they are succeeding. And so we would need the school board's help to help start the conversation on how we gauge our students ready for school, and do we have the education, you know, because I mean, I like the awards and everything, but BIA schools, we're in with Pine Ridge. You know, we're in with, you know, a lot of other schools that the standard is very low for BIA, so we have to meet, you know, we're competing against those types of schools.
But our standards are in comparison with the state standards, which is the core competencies. So when you look at the adequate yearly progress that's being made within our school system, you can compare that with the local surrounding school systems as well. We have Green Bay Public Schools that have not made adequate yearly progress in comparison with our school system.
Yeah, I understand, and it's an excellent point. But when our kids don't succeed, they drop out. So they don't become a part of that system. So there goes a bad, you know, a kid that's not succeeding he's not a part of that statistic that helps drive us up here. So we got Sarah Wunderlich's program that has, I think, 12 kids that can't go to school. So those kids aren't counted. So if they were performing or were not performing in our schools, that would be reflective of, you know, state standards, you know, and our ability to compete with other schools. So I guess that's what I'm saying, is that there's a gap in there that we're missing, and so how do we close the gap? And that it's a tough question, but it needs to be answered.
Lisa and Jacob.
And I think my question was pretty much along the similar lines as Councilman Stevens. When you talk about, I think it's wonderful that the alternative, the short program for the diploma is being implemented, because I think that's really beneficial to those students that might not have had an opportunity to actually gain their diploma at some point. But I think that's kind of where my thought went to as well. While it's an awesome program to have, what is the school doing to monitor? So for instance, you know, the example that Brandon just used was that potentially there's already one student that's gone from 8% down to 0 now. What is being done, or what is the school doing to monitor those cases where the student potentially is just saying, okay, well, if I don't do anything, I can get into this alternative program, go the short track, and then you know, just be done. And maybe that's a good alternative for that student. I don't know, but I guess I'm trying to figure out kind of along the similar lines, what are we doing from a preventative perspective to help that student be successful prior to them even getting to that point? Or are these cases ones that they maybe came to us credit deficient already, and then we have to work extra hard to try to find a solution for them to be successful? I'm just not quite 100% clear on what is driving us in that direction.
In some of those cases, when there is a student that is credit deficient that comes for application for the school, it goes through our admission process, and our admission staff then review all of those circumstances. Those students that are coming in credit deficient or that have behavior issues or that have, you know, have been possibly on the verge of expulsion within another school system, those things are all assessed with each of those students, and they're put under contract in terms of, you know, here's how we're going to accept you into our school system, and we're going to give you that chance, we're going to give you that opportunity, but you have to also put that effort forward, and that contract spells that out with not only the student but with the parents and or the guardians, as well as with the individual advisors that are assigned to that student. So we're giving them that opportunity, but they also have to put in that effort to be able to be successful. If there are situations where there is an individual that has had a decline in performance, then that needs to be brought to our attention so that we can assure that someone has been assigned to follow up with that student.
When you say brought to your attention, by whom? By community member? By
whoever is aware of a particular circumstance, because to my knowledge, there hasn't been a situation that has come forward. When we've had students that either have not been attending school, that you know, are truant, we send out our staff, both at the elementary and at the high school, that go directly to the home and work with whatever the issue is, whether it's with the parent. I mean, we've had one of our high school counselors that has gone to try to recruit individuals to come back to school if they haven't been. They go in through a number of different routes to try and get that student back to the school or to identify what the issue is and why that student isn't coming to school. Over the summer, there was one student, I can tell you, that the OWAT GLE coordinator, which is Dennis Gullickson, was going directly to the home and waiting for that individual student to come, either come back or come out, and, you know, followed that student around to make sure that we could get that student back, you know, so that they would come. And I think, you know, their efforts have been commendable in terms of the number of kids that they've been able to bring back and actually recruit into the short program to be able to get their diplomas. If they hadn't have done that, these five students that have graduated, they would have never graduated. You know, some of them only needed a half a credit. You know, some of them are single parents. Some of them, you know, they don't have that encouragement at home to try and get them to be pushed a little bit harder to say, you need to get that diploma. It's critical that you need to get that diploma. Taking them down to NWTC and helping them walk through the process of admission to higher ed, you know, we don't have that kind of a relationship with some of the other schools in the area that our school has with the students.
Jacob?
What's the process for deciding or giving the student an opportunity to enroll in the YET program, Sarah Wunderlich's program?
We don't deal with her program. That's not under our area.
Okay.
Her program is under the social services area.
So what is the collaboration then between the school and Sarah's program? I think that's kind of what the committee is getting at, is what's
because
happening.
I was under the impression the high school provided the diploma through to the YET program.
That's a different program. The high school provides the diplomas through the short program that we operate through our high school. That's totally separate than Sarah's program.
Okay.
I believe Sarah's program is referral,
right?
The referral program.
It's either referral or they have had issues with the justice system, so they have been, they're on paper, so that's part of the reason why they're referred to that program.
So it's kind of on us on how do we connect all the dots on all those programs. You know, Title VII YES program. They're having deficiencies within the schools in Green Bay, and how do we be more effective with that funding and the relationships with the schools? I mean, that's all. That's kind of, I mean, I'm being critical of everyone, not just, you know, the school board or the school.
And that's another thing, because I work kind of close with Sarah's program, and I think one way to maybe retain students or get them to come back to school and attain their degree would be to maybe diversify their experience. I know you mentioned the NWTC, but I know Sarah recently created a relationship with College of Menominee in hopes that the students will kind of be exposed to what life would be like transitioning from high school to college to kind of further their efforts to achieve higher education. And I know I met with few staff members from College of Menominee, and you know, they're more than willing to help. Professors are willing to volunteer their time to tutor the students. So I think maybe just reaching out because the resources are out there and available.
I know there has been communication between not only College of Menominee but also with St. Norbert College. There's partnerships that are being developed currently with the high school as well as with the middle school. We also work with UWGB. We have tutors that come out through UWGB and St. Norbert College that work directly with one-on-one peer counseling with our elementary students as well. So we do have collaborative relationships within the surrounding schools that we work with.
Lisa?
I think Madison's new to that list, too.
Yes.
There's a relationship being built with UW-Madison as well. I think one of the things that I think we could maybe do is push our thinking a little bit more about how we receive the report and the information, because, you know, it's obvious we're trying to connect some different programs together. So maybe one of the things that we want to consider doing in the future, and it probably won't happen for the next one, but as we continue to evolve where we're trying to align our resources with the desired outcomes in our measurements and goals, maybe one of the things that we want to consider is having an education report period that includes the school and then the different programming from other parts of the operation. So something to consider, and I wouldn't necessarily expect just the school board, you know, to take an initiative to do that. I would also look to GSD to be, you know, involved with that and collaborate. But I'm thinking that's something that the committee wants to consider at some point in the future, is that we're not just looking at it from the school perspective or the social services perspective, but we're saying we need that picture in front of us every time from the educational perspective in its totality, right from higher ed right down to whatever alternative programs might be out there, including CEC and some other things. So
in the comprehensive report, that is one of the areas that the school board has been trying to initiate under the comprehensive report, with one of our objectives is to look at from essentially from womb to tomb in terms of the educational systems within the community, within all of our constituents. One of the other things that the school board had taken on a number of years ago was to develop the education code, which was presented in draft format, which addressed that whole womb to tomb concept in terms of addressing the quality of education within our nation. And that proposal was sent up to LOC and I believe died on the floor. So, you know, we have had that discussion about resurrecting that education code again, revisiting that code so that we can move that forward as well, because that addresses what you're exactly talking about, is not just elementary or high school education, but post-high school education, and how do we measure the standards and the quality of the education that we are paying for at that higher ed level.
Any other questions or comments or concerns regarding the report?
Yeah, a couple. Just regarding the base home visits.
Yes.
Out of those 30, how many were home? Just because I've worked there, and there's many times where our base workers do home visits and they come back frustrated, you know, taking out half of their day and only half of the people are home.
I can find out. I don't have that data right here, but I can ask for that for the next quarter.
Okay, and then also with that, is that first come, first serve for the FACE program?
Yes.
Because I think that would help too, you know, having some kind of guidelines you know, if you're not going to be there, then why be in a program? And if there's a waiting list, you know, at least give the other parents opportunity.
I know where FACE has come into a very positive reaction has been for those individuals that did get put on the Head Start waiting list and the early Head Start waiting list, and then they were encouraged. They're working collaboratively with Head Start to try and do those cross referrals so that if they can't get onto the Head Start, they can at least try to get them into FACE so that they're getting the services that are necessary.
Okay. Also another one, Chairwoman brought up about our kids being transferred out. Chair met with the superintendents of area schools, and one issue arose was the superintendents not receiving the full report from transfer students, whether they're IEP or any kind of special services, because I think that's some of the challenges that some of the schools are having when they transfer out. They're not getting a full report of any behavior, social, any learning disabilities. I'm not sure how that works.
Not aware of anything from superintendents. We haven't received any information.
Okay.
I wasn't aware there had been meetings with the superintendent.
There was a superintendent meeting, and it wasn't with the tribal school. It was just with the superintendents. And one of the conversations were about being able to track and assist tribal school students when they come and go from one school to the other. And it was not just the public schools, but when they come out of tribal school, that they don't always know what are some of the concerns that a student has when they're being transferred. And there is a lot of mobility between districts and tribal and public school system. So that's an ongoing concern.
Was our superintendent in attendance?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't designed for the tribal school. It was for the public schools regarding the YES program and benefits. But it came out of that discussion. And I just have a question. Are your FACE home visits, you have 30 families and 18 center-based. Are those 18 part of the 30, or is that in addition to the 30?
That's in addition to.
Melinda?
I just had, I guess, some encouraging thoughts. Just kind of had to tell my story because I think that there's a misperception, and I had this misperception too for a while about the academics at the Turtle School. My son went to Seymour for the last 3 or 4 years, and last year he had a really awful teacher at Seymour Community School, and it set him back almost a half a grade in math and almost a quarter of a grade in reading. And since he's been at the Turtle School, with the help of the County H Recreation Center tutors, Ralph, and the staff that was already there, along with the school and the teachers being able to work with me to increase his reading. His reading level is now a grade ahead, and his math is up to par as of now, just from the work that they've been able to do. So at the same time, I was
the honor roll.
Yeah. It was a lot of hard work, I'll tell you. And the school assessment is the same assessment that the state had taken, is my understanding that the state's equivalencies are. So I just thought it would be great to share a positive story. But also I was thinking about maybe partnering with Fawn about maybe how to start a PTA. Never thought of myself as a mom and PTA, but I really want to. I've seen in the local school districts how they – you know, get together book fairs and raise money and have ice cream socials for the kids. And I know that the school administration is doing the best they can to administer, like, certificates to the students for attendance and for grades and honors. But really, it's the parents who really should be also encouraging the students and being involved. And so I thought maybe that's something that the school board can take up. And, like, how can you support someone like myself or a group of parents that actually want to try to come together and do that? Because I know you tried it, and there wasn't a lot of participation, and you were down there by yourself manning those booths half the time. So I'm just wondering how we can maybe try again.
We would welcome that. We would welcome that participation, and the school board can get behind you to help facilitate. Okay.
Madam Chair?
Jenny?
Make a motion to approve the Oneida Nation School Board report.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Fawn, to accept the Oneida Nation School Board reports. Any other questions or comments regarding the report? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next item is the Land Claims Commission report.
Claims Commission, no report submitted.
Right, and I guess, you know, I'm a little concerned that they have not submitted a report because, you know, they're constantly asking for engagement with the business committee, and I believe we have lent that to them, and my other concern is they have a full-time staff. They should be able to generate a report because that full-time person serves directly the commission. So it's real concerning that we're not generating any kind of a report. Jenny?
I'm concerned, too, because I think we talked about this, not getting the reports. I started in August, and I think it was by the end of August we realized there's a full-time position and nothing is being done. So my concern is, what do you do when there's a full-time position and they're not reporting anything? I thought we were going to maybe use that position to help some other areas, but that's 40 hours a week and we're not getting anything, and that's just, we've got to do something.
At our last Land Claims Commission meeting with the business committee, she did come at the end of the meeting and stated she was unaware, but she also stated she was, well, I'm going to be gone for the next 2 weeks, so if you need anything, call my cell. So, you know, I guess if that's an acceptable practice, you know, fine, but we still should be getting a report. I mean, not fine, but okay, so be it. But, you know, it's just not adding up very well, I don't think, and it's not a good reflection of, you know, cost efficiencies of the tribe. You know, we're really holding people accountable to their time and to their programs and their products and their services, and then we don't get a report. You know, and we have been criticized over the years about not engaging them, and the effort has been there from this committee, so I think that is a very valid concern. Lisa?
I just want to echo the same concerns, and I guess what I would look to do at this point is to, you know, do what we've been doing as far as withholding stipends and things like that for this report, since it wasn't, my understanding is that it is in now, but it was not submitted in time for the report, you know, so it did come eventually. It came late, but not in time for this agenda. However, I guess at this point, I guess I would like to refer the concern generally to both Brandon and Jenny as the liaisons to Land Claims Commission to have, I guess, from a protocol perspective, for Brandon as the lead and Jenny as the alternate to take this on and actually have a conversation with the Land Claims Commission chair to figure out what we need to do. Because I guess for me, I'm not willing to continue to accept late reports when we know there's a full-time position. And I get vacations, I get all that. At the same time, they're quarterly reports. You know, unless you're on vacation for the whole quarter, I don't know how this can continue to happen. So, you know, I am displeased about it, and I don't think it's something that we can continue to accept. So, and I do know that we have some solutions, and we have some, you know, alternatives that we've talked about. You know, there's other areas that need help as well, and, you know, we've talked about those things. So I think if we can defer this to you as a subsequent motion for you both to follow up with them and bring back an update, you know, at the next business committee meeting, and exec, we can talk about it some more. Even if we can have a joint meeting with them at that time.
Chair?
Jenny? Sorry.
And, you know, maybe at this point in time, maybe there's not a need for a full-time person over there. Because there's not much happening with the land claims anyway. You know, maybe we only need somebody 10 hours a week. you know. But that's something that, you know, we can discuss with the land claims. So I'll make a motion to halt stipends for the Land Claims Commission, and also to, I'll stop there because you wanted to make a motion too.
Is your motion to not issue stipends until we get a report?
Correct.
Okay. Is there support for the motion?
Support.
There's a motion by Jenny, second by Lisa, to notify the Land Claims Commission that no stipends shall be released until they provide the committee with their quarterly report. Any question or comments on the motion?
Just for clarification, it's what we've been doing is holding them until they're resubmitted and accepted by the committee. So there's two parts to it.
Okay, so noted. Any other questions or clarifications? If not, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Follow-up motion, Madam Chair.
Lisa.
I'd like to make a follow-up motion to defer the concern regarding the delinquent reports to the Land Claims Commission liaisons, Brandon Stevens and Jenny Webster, for follow-up.
Support.
There's a motion to defer the... to the Land Claims Commission, Brandon and Jenny for follow-up. I have some concerns.
Pretty good.
Okay. That's what that says. Looks like caucus. It's just the way I wrote it. I can see it. I can see plain and clear. I just can't read my writing.
And totally understand.
For the concerns to the LLC, to Brandon and Jenny for follow-up. Motion by Lisa and seconded by, what was it, Melinda. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is a land claims or the land commission meeting.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny?
There was a request by the land commission to defer their report to the next business committee meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Motion to defer the land claim or the land commission report to the next meeting of the business committee. All those. Sorry.
Oh, does that need
Jenny,
a second?
Yeah, should you have a second?
Okay, second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa, to defer the land commission report to the next meeting of the business committee.
The motion was by Melinda.
By Melinda. You're all blending in.
Yeah.
Except for Brandon, of course. He's a guy. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
There's a motion to adjourn at 2:55. All those, is there a support on the motion?
Second.
Wait, motion wait, by wait. Melinda, second by Fawn to adjourn at 2:55. Joanne?
Request the business committee to consider going back into executive session to discuss the Vision Oneida item on the agenda. The information you've requested is available today. It's an attempt to keep their activities on projected task. So if we went back into executive session, I should have all of the questions answered for you.
Do you have them in writing? It's up to the committee if you want to take up this item now. I thought we had a meeting scheduled to address that. Maybe it's a different one. Okay.
But we have one on Monday, right? Can we go?
I'm not sure what it is because I stepped out that is pending for this item. That was an executive session this morning. I don't know what the action was because I stepped out.
There's a motion to defer to the next business committee meeting so that the office and land management could rectify the concerns the committee had on the contract.
Oh, this is the SNL property.
Yes.
And the refinance.
Yep. So did we did not act on the motion to recess yet, correct?
No, there was a motion made and seconded.
Okay, so is the motion going to withdraw the request to recess?
That's what we're talking about.
Are you willing to withdraw and go back to the Vision Oneida
item? Do you want to?
I'm good with it if the motion wants to withdraw.
We're here.
I didn't think that it was time sensitive when we discussed it on Monday. So, but okay. If that's what you want, you're going to withdraw?
Yeah. Seconder.
Okay. So motion we are still in session.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Motion to go into the executive session.
Yes. Motion by Lisa, second by Brandon at 2:55 to go into executive session. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.